Have you ever seen the show Episodes on Showtime?
I don't get Showtime.
All right. Well, it starts like Matt LeBlanc or whatever. It's like some English writers, and they're asked to like adapt some show for the U.S. and blah blah blah. Anyway, as their show like starts getting canceled at the end of their season, like one of the actors like just straight up leaves. He was like one of the main like teenage actors in their show, and like the other kids are all like, "Can we just read some of his lines?" And I'm like, at first, the guy who's British is like, "No, it wouldn't make any sense." He's like, "Come on!" And then it's like, "Fine, whatever. Just read his lines back and forth between each other." They're like, "Can we add some of our own lines?" He's like, "Yeah, whatever. Just do it." And that's, you're just reminding me of that right now, Craig.
That sums up our podcast. It's just whatever. Turn on the recorder and talk about things. That's it. Hey, all folks, right. I'm Craig Lipinski.
I'm Seth Gastelum.
And I'm Chris Dunn.
And this is episode 136 of the TV Must video game podcast, available at tvmust.net. Also, iTunes, Stitcher, there's an RSS feed. You can stream, you can download. It's very convenient. When we decide to put an episode out, it's been about 3 months, I think. So that's a hell of a hiatus even for us. So we're back.
In POG form?
In POG form.
In podcast form?
Did you just call this in podcast form?
I called it a POG.
Did you really call it a podcast?
I did. I'm so sorry. I'm rusty.
No. You were apologizing. But I think that was the greatest thing I've ever heard in the history of the universe. Like, fuck Shakespeare. I don't care about what anybody else had to say. Up until this point, you just called this a podcast.
It would be better if we actually discussed Pogs, I think, but
there's not much to say about
time for that.
Nah. did you guys ever collect and play Pogs? Did you guys ever do that?
Well, was I a third grader in 1993? Yeah. No, yes, I did. Of course.
Yeah, I think I was in sixth grade. I still just don't even understand the concept. Like, here's a stack of things, and then you throw stuff at them, and then some of them flip over. Like, it's like the dumbest game of all time.
And then you keep those, you take other people's cheap plasticky circle things.
Yeah. Yeah. And then some Pogs are, like, expensive, too. Like, they'd be like, oh, this little cardboard disc, that'll be 50 cents, please. Get the fuck out of here. And someone's just gonna take it, you're just gonna lose it. So you don't buy cool ones, you buy stupid shitty ones so that people can take them and then you get cool ones from them.
At some point, like, instead of using a real slammer, I started using like this heavy like token type thing that was about the size of a slammer that I had got from a bowling alley, and I can't remember what it was, but it definitely was not a slammer. I just started cheating with that thing.
The whole like concept of like slammers, like, I had a whole mess of them.
Yeah.
One of them, like, I had a couple of them that were, like, thick, like, really light, lightweight plastic. They were thick, almost like thick.
Yeah.
But, like, what would that do?
I don't know.
And knocked over, like, the top two Pogs. Like, the rest of the stack was intact. Like,
gotta keep
sure
it fair,
I had
man.
Some of those, too.
And then I had
they were terrible.
Shredders. Were these a thing? Like, they were, like, looked like ninja stars.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
I got some of those in Vegas or something.
I don't know. I mean, is there actual, like, skill here, like, oh, my shredder's aerodynamic and it's gonna flip over all your Pogs, man. You see these curves here?
My buzzsaw ones were the Pogs. I didn't have any buzzsaw slammers.
That's what I had. Yeah, I had metal buzzsaw slammers, and they were nice. That's what I used.
Oh, I didn't have that at all.
And here in southeastern New England, we have like this junk shop called Ocean State Job Lot. Rhode Island being the ocean state. It's garbage. It's a stupid place. And you can get, like, garbagey things at garbagey deals. And I remember, like, the job lot that was, like, right down the street, like, maybe a mile from my house, was... They would just have, like, this giant bin full of, like, the shittiest Pogs. And I remember going down there with, like, paper wrap money and buying Pogs.
And then
there was no in there. I mean, that's Pogs.
That's what you did.
That's what you
story.
Did. You just buy Pogs, and nobody really knew what to do with them. And they would just make up rules like, oh, if it's face up, I keep it. No, if it's face down, I keep it. Like, no, we're not playing. We're not playing for keepsies. And, you know, like,
fuck those people. I want your Pogs, man.
I want your Pogs. But there's like so little skill involved. Like it's just so
you throw a thing at corners and some of them flip.
Yeah, they do. They flip.
We would make like sometimes we'll just go stupid, make like 20 stack like pogs and start throwing things at them. Ah. Whoever invented that whole thing was a fucking genius, by the way.
Yeah.
Somehow they turned like absolutely stupid, the stupidest shit into like this huge moneymaker.
But I don't think it was like one person. It wasn't like Milton Bradley came up with like Pogs. Like Pog stands for, I think, Passion Orange Guava. Like they were actually like the little cardboard disc that came inside like juice bottle caps.
What?
And that's how it's, I'm pretty sure that's how it started, yeah. And then, so, like, no one person made money off of it.
What? Juice box?
Yeah, like, juice, but that's my understanding. Like, you ever like, get, like milk, and you look underneath, like, the cap of, like a bottle of milk, and there's, like, a little cardboard thing inside? Maybe not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Right. That's what POG stands for. It's a passion orange guava. It refers to, like, juices, and it's, like, the little cardboard disc that would come out from the bottle cap. That's my understanding. It's been a long time since I gave a shit about Pogs, so
this is blowing my mind, man.
I never knew the secret history of Pogs.
I can't wait to watch all this on the History Channel in like 10 years, dude.
No, they're still going to be doing aliens in World War II, man. That's not going to be on the History Channel.
They're like some kind of Pog documentary on Netflix or something. Come on.
Like Pog championships.
I need to get my Pog education.
Oh, man. And
when I was down in Mexico City this past November, there were actually some fucking kids at one of the museums, like, playing Pogs out in the courtyard. And I was like, oh, that's finally here, huh? I know.
God damn. But, you know, Pogs is, like, even though I participated in Pogs, because everyone participated, I mean, it's like a cheap game everyone can get into, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a few cents, really, to get into it. I just never understood it. And it's just like jacks or marbles. Like these are stupid, like little rascals kind of games that don't make any sense. And everyone's playing. I'm playing for keepsies. I'm going for little blue. And like, who cares, man? These games are dumb.
So would the equivalent in this day and age be Flappy Bird?
I don't know. That's interesting.
Everybody's like just playing there. I got 50 pipes that I went through. And why?
Yeah. Flappy Bird's a weird game. I understand the appeal, but that's a weird game. Anyway, this is wow. Hey guys, we're back. This is the Timo's Video Game Podcast.
No, it's the podcast.
It's
stay with it.
There's no video about these games. It's just podcast, and we're just talking about any kind of games. You guys ever play Don't Wake Daddy?
No. The commercial. Like the commercial.
I remember the commercial.
Though.
I don't know if I ever actually played it.
I could just picture, like, the dad waking up and just beating the shit out of these kids. And I was like, man, really don't want to wake
Holy
him up.
Shit, yeah.
Don't wake daddy. Belt don't. Not included.
Nice. Yeah. Sounds like my dad. Yeah, he just kind of, like, jerks up out of bed with his eyeballs, like, open. My dad would have just, like, leapt out of bed and punched me in the face. He would have shot me out the window with a bazooka. Like, it would have been all over, man.
See, I thought you were talking about the board game at first. I think I just realized you were just talking about your normal life.
My upbringing. Right? Yeah, there you go.
You guys ever play Don't Piss Off Mom?
You guys ever play Hide Mom's Drug Stash?
Oh, God. I'm getting sad now.
All right, moving on. You know, on the subject of non-video games, I was playing this card game with my girlfriend and a couple of her friends called Munchkin. Are you familiar with this? You ever heard of this?
I am not.
I've never heard of it.
It's actually really, really interesting. I'm actually tempted to, like, pick it up myself. It's very simple. It's, like, it's almost sort of Dungeons & Dragon-y, but purely with cards. So you get, like, dealt cards, and then you can play, like, a class or a race. If that's the card that you have, and you get bonuses for that, and then you can play equipment on your card. And then every turn, basically, you have to draw a card, like a door card. You kick down the door, you draw a door card. And if it's a monster, you have to fight it. The monster will have a level. And if your level plus all your equipment is above that monster, you won. And then you gain one level. The first to gain to 10 levels wins. But the other players can fuck you over. They can play cards. Like, if you're getting really close, like you're like level 9, and like you play like a level 1 monster and you're totally going to win, they can play shit like that will make, like a card that will make the monster run away. So you just you don't get the bad, like, fuck. So you're screwed. But it's really simple. Like, it seemed sort of complicated when I was like, I don't understand this. But it's actually really, really simple. And the hands go by kind of quick. They're a lot of fun.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, we had a good time. And it's all sort of, like, goofy. You ever play Kingdom of Loathing?
No.
Okay, Kingdom of Loathing. I don't know if it's still around. It was when I first started working at Pfizer, because I remember I would have, like, downtime, and, like, me and, like, one of my coworkers would play Kingdom of Loathing. It was, like a web-based game. And it might have been one of the first, like, freemium games that I've ever played. You would have, there were pictures, but it was largely text-based, and it was, like, an RPG. And you had so many adventures for the day, which are moves. You could spend money to get more adventures, but you would fight monsters and level up and earn, take on quests, earn items, things like that. And it had a goofy sense of humor. I mean, it's called Kingdom of Loathing. Like, for instance, one quest had you collecting cranberries, right? You had to kill zombies to get cranberries.
Is that like a cranberries reference?
Yes, it is.
In my head, zombie.
Yes.
Okay.
So the Munchkin sense of humor isn't quite like that, but it reminds me of that. It's sort of silly. It doesn't take itself very seriously. Like, one of my pieces of equipment was like a spiked cod piece. Like, that was. So, you know, it's sort of goofy. It's fun. I'm tempted to just pick up a set myself because it's really cool.
And I looked up Kingdom of Loathing online, and I, like, found some Kingdom of Loathing, like, toys that they were selling at Comic-Con in 2008.
Did anyone buy that?
I don't know.
I can't even imagine. No.
Like, one of the toys is just, like, it's a lime with vampire fangs.
Sounds about right.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't recommend anyone really play Kingdom of Loathing. I don't even know if that's still around. We're going to take a look.
We will find it.
Oh, there it is. Nope. Kingdom of Loathing. KOL. Oh. 11th anniversary. I can't remember. Let me see if I remember my login.
Craig's just going to spend the rest of the podcast playing Kingdom of Loathing.
I know, right? I do not even know what my password would be. We're going to figure this out.
Do you even know what your login would be?
No.
He's all like, no. He's typing like sexy Craig 69.
I'm sure that wasn't available when he tried.
If you forgot your password and need to activation code reset, please click here. Email. No, we're gonna figure this out. It's all like stick figures and shit. Send request. Email address not found in player table. They must have like purged my account or something. Oh well. All right. So we have been MIA for 3 months or so. Chris, how have you been in 3 months?
I haven't changed much, really. I've been good, but been stuck in the house because I have not seen the ground in the last 3 months because there have been snow on it. It has literally not been above freezing until this month, so it's kind of nice that it's actually warming up and I can see the grass again. It's not usually like that. I mean, I know people are like, you live in Wisconsin, you should be used to that. It doesn't usually get down to like minus 20 in Milwaukee, but you know, with that polar vortex or whatever, it was a pretty bad winter. I've only been to Disney once since the last time we recorded. So,
man, I feel bad for you.
I know. I know.
You
I'm slipping.
Withdrawals?
I'm slipping. I know.
Like,
Jackie's
I need
going next
Mickey
month,
in
but
my
I'm not.
Veins.
It's not quite like that, but
when you come into California, Chris?
I don't know. Sometime.
I want to go to California.
Me and Chris are having a big Disneyland party.
What, really?
Yeah.
I want to go. Why don't you guys tell me about this? You guys are buttholes.
Well, it's not till summer, so come on over.
All right. Hopefully I have a job by then.
That'd be pretty cool.
You don't really live near Disneyland, do you?
A couple hours. It's not couple that far.
Oh, okay. Yeah, where is that? Anaheim? Yeah.
Yep. It's only next county up.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah. Of course, I'm at the very bottom of this county, so, you know.
To be fair, I don't really live near Disney World, but I go all the fucking time, so.
Well, I guess that's a good point. Some of us have jobs, I guess.
Some of us.
Some of us. That was mean.
I don't know.
How have you been?
I really don't have much to report, though. My life is boring as it is every week, but now it's just many weeks have passed. That's all.
Sweet. Many weeks of boredom have passed, so that's it. How about you, Seth? What have you been up to?
I went to Disneyland.
did you really?
Yeah, but like this was a while ago. This was, I think, just a couple of weeks after the last time we recorded. So, I don't remember.
Have to hear about everything you did over the last 3 months.
Yeah.
I mean, you heard about everything I did over the last 3 months, but still.
Right.
Shit, what happened? I don't remember. I remember having at least, like, 3 or 4 good stories to tell in case we recorded, but then we just never did.
You remember having stories, but you don't
remember
the stories.
I remember having the stories. Yeah, exactly. They were really good, though. They were, like, fucking entertaining as shit. Like, they had punchlines. It was going to be awesome. They were going to be awesome, awesome stories.
And you blew it. This podcast is terrible now because of you.
It's my fault. It's my fault we haven't recorded in 3 months. Greg, it's your fault.
What?
You know.
So that's it. You have. That's it. You went to Disneyland and then
I went to Disneyland and I had awesome stories. I forgot.
I feel like you just slept the whole time and sold insurance.
I didn't. What? What would even lead you to believe that I would do something like that?
I'm surprised you're even awake for this. Come on, Seth.
Yeah, this is nuts. For those of you like listening, normally we record about 4 p.m. Eastern, which is 1 p.m. Seth's time. He's just dragging his ass out of bed. We start recording at noon. It's 9 o'clock in the morning for Seth. Like, I don't know what universe we fell into.
Well, it's what time I normally have to be at, like, my real job. So I just pretended today was a weekday. Plus, I really want to go see these baby lions at the Wild Animal Park, man. Or the Safari Park, whatever the fuck they're calling it these days.
What are they? Baby what?
They're baby lions.
Oh, okay.
Like right now, they're still in the nursery area.
I was gonna say
nursing, and I'm like, that's not right. That doesn't make sense. They're still in the nursery area right now, so they're like just behind some glass, and I could like just put my face right up and get close to them.
Yeah.
Before they like stick them in the regular, you know, holding thing that's all huge, and who knows where they are.
I'm gonna get big and vicious.
Yep.
Eat your face off, man.
Right now, they're still small and cute. I could probably kill one if I wanted to. How small and cute.
What the fuck?
What?
It just got dark.
I want to see the cute baby lions. I could totally kill one of them because they're just so fragile.
An example of how helpless they are right now. Why? That's like probably a normal thing that people do.
Kill lions? Like, yeah, sadists.
You've ever gone and like seen your friend's baby? He's like, look how cute this baby is. I can just like snap its neck.
No, that reminds me of Battlestar Galactica.
I've never watched that show, but suddenly I'm interested in it.
Yeah, one of the Cylons
kill baby lions.
No, it kills a baby. Like one of the Cylons was interested in an infant and was amazed that like the neck could support the head. Of course, the neck can't support the head, and she just snapped it and she like walked away. That was
who designed babies? What the fuck's that?
Man, what a flawed design babies are.
They need some more neck support in there. Stick a metal rod in it or something. I don't know.
Their heads are like 1/3 of their body.
Yeah, gross. I try not to pay attention to babies till they're like, I don't know, 2.
Right, yeah. Before that, it's just, and everyone's like, oh, baby's so cute. I'm like, it looks like an old potato. Like, it doesn't. I'm sure you love your kid. You know, I'm not trying to be a dick, but like, all babies look like they're not attractive. And then they get a little bit older and they're great.
For people who do have kids, remember, like, when you saw somebody else's kid for the first time and it was a baby.
And that's how I see every other kid, like, on Facebook. Yeah. Like, oh, here's my baby. And I'm like, yep, that looks like a dried Apple doll. Like, that's what that looks like.
gross.
Now Seth wants to kill it.
Like, now, I love my niece and nephew. Like, my niece is, like... I don't know, was she like 6 or 7? My nephew's like 2. They're great. I mean, I get to give them back when I'm done with them, but they're great at that. When my nephew was like an infant, I didn't want to touch him. I'm like, don't trust me with that living creature. Like, are you bananas? No way.
I think my grandniece, I didn't like actually talk to her until she was like 1.5.
Just pretended she didn't exist.
Pretty much. Like, she didn't know that I was ignoring her, whatever. She's a baby.
She's a baby. She don't know.
Baby's she didn't know okay. any better.
Wow. All right. I think we should talk about video games. Am I doing this video game podcast? It's been 3 months, so it's like talking about news is really tough because it's like, do we go back all 3 months? And when you kind of look back, when you look back from now over the past 3 months, did anything exciting really happen? And I feel like no.
Hey, Pogs came back into fashion.
They did not, Chris. Stop lying. Jesus Christ.
He's, like, making his own. Like, he's sitting there tracing out of construction paper.
No. I'm just looking at my old collection that I still have.
He's using that cup design knowledge that he used and just making the most wicked waterproof pogs right now.
Underwater pogging.
That sounds pretty extreme, man.
Yeah. Anyway, so I don't really have any video game news. I got nothing. Nothing that really seems all that interesting.
I'm trying to think of, like, if anything happened this past week, so we could just pretend like we haven't recorded since, I don't know, December or January.
Mega Man-ish game coming out for the eShop.
Oh, right. The one with the stupid name.
I like the name. Azure Striker Gunvolt?
Yeah, that's a bad name.
No, you're stupid. That's great.
No, okay, hold on. I'm going to blow your mind. What if they just called it Gunvolt Striker?
I'd be okay with that too.
I think it's a better name.
No, I like Azure Striker Gunvolt. I prefer
it's
that.
It's so long.
Right, it's stupid. I love Japanese video game names because they're so stupid.
But anyways, it looks awesome.
It does. It does look awesome.
The character design, I'm not pleased with. But I mean, like, the graphics themselves, like, it has the old, like, I don't know, like a GBA game sort of look, or yeah, a 2D 2DS game. It's got that nice pixel look.
It does. Who's developing this? Is this what are they called?
Is it Inti Creates?
Inti Creates, yes. Inti Creates is working on it. So this is basically like a spiritual successor to like Zero and ZX.
And as far as I know, it's the same director as the Zero games, or at least some of the Zero games. So
see, Zero games were hard. Like Zero games, I don't know. I suck at them. I really like the ZX. I really like the ZX games, though. So if it's, you know, the difficulty level's more along those lines, I'm totally down. And it's coming out this summer in North America. I think they want to bring it out in Europe, but, you know, languages and all that. So.
Yeah, they were like, I don't know.
Yeah. So Japan.
So you guys over there, you need to make one language. Just combine all the languages over there into one. Everything should work out good.
I'm not so sure about that, but yeah, I mean, maybe.
I think it would cause world peace. I think.
Yeah.
I just solved it.
Seth championing world peace.
Yeah, maybe.
You solved it, Seth. I'm proud
world
of you.
World peace and fragile babies.
Let's see here. Nintendo announced a new platform, whether that's a new piece of hardware or what, called Quality of Life, and it seems to be more focused on like lifestyle stuff, which makes sense. It seems interesting that they're branching out, in my opinion.
They made that shit up during their investor meeting. Iwata was up there. He was like sweating his ass, like, fucking Wii U sales. Oh shit. What? Oh, we had like the Wii Fit quality of life. And then he just started he ran with it. You ran with it right there in the middle of the meeting.
It did seem like really like, we have no idea what we're talking about right now. We got enough. It's sort of like they're trying to capitalize on, you know, We Fit, We Sports, that sort of stuff, but they don't know how yet. So that's yeah, he just kind of made something up on the spot, and they'll work out the details later, I guess.
That that pulse meter is going to come back with a vengeance.
Dude, the Wii U is so fucked.
Yeah.
That thing is, man, and it sucks. It's a decent system. I actually, you know what? Someone on YouTube left a comment today telling me my collection was unimpressive. I needed more third-party games. And I'm like, what third-party game? What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, I mean, fuck. The Wii U needs more third-party games, period.
Right. I own like 14 or 15 like Wii U games. I mean, I think that's probably out of the norm. I mean, how many do you own, Seth? Probably in the same area.
Let me check. Wii U, 15 retail games.
Okay. Yep. So we own about the same. What about you, Chris?
I'm going to look right now. I think I have like 10.
10. Yeah. So I mean, I think we're way outside of the norm. So for someone So for someone to be like, you need to own more games, I'm like, dude, I own more than I probably own like quadruple the average Wii U owner.
I think you own like 90% of the Wii U games, so you're...
There's very little that, like, I mean, as far as like first party stuff goes, I don't have like, what, Wii U Party or whatever. I don't have Game & Wario because that was boring, you know. So, I mean, I have pretty much most of what's worth owning on the Wii U. Uh-huh. So I don't – what else do you want me to buy? I don't understand. So, like, even with someone like me who owns a good chunk of what's there and is still like, this thing's a sinking ship, it's bad news bears.
Yep.
And it's a shame, too, because, like, when it first launched, I thought it had a lot of potential. I'm just really surprised that, like, it's being just snubbed so much. I really don't understand why.
I mean, first of all, I think consoles are just doing bad, and the PS4 is actually tracking behind the Wii U in Japan right now, like launch aligned.
Really?
Which is crazy.
That is crazy because the PS4 is actually doing really well worldwide, though.
It's doing really well worldwide. That's the Wii U's problem. It's not doing good anywhere.
Mm.
PS4 is doing really good in the U.S. and Europe, but it's actually tracking behind the Wii U even in Japan.
I had no idea. Wow. That's kind of messed up.
Yep. Of course, I don't know if there's like a ton of games right now out in Japan that appeal to Japanese players. I mean, got like Knack and Killzone and shit.
Wasn't there some story about how like Knack... No, maybe that was Europe where Knack outsold... Super Mario 3D Land.
It was definitely Europe.
That's insane to me, but that's, well, I don't know. And then you have Xbox One. Microsoft's, I think, getting desperate with that. They cut price. They cut the price in Europe, or at least the UK, as is my understanding. And then here, they had a Titanfall bundle, which included Titanfall. I think it was a download code, but they include Titanfall for free, basically. They have a Titanfall bundle, and it's $500, like normal console. Like they're in a tough spot. But I mean, it just in general, it's I don't know. I don't get. We've been over this last generation. The market has never been able to support three extremely similar systems. It never has. Go ahead, pick a point in time. Tell me when it has. It can't. It doesn't. And I don't know why you'd want three similar systems. Like, everyone's like, well, why can't the Wii U be more powerful and have a regular controller? Because why?
Because you already have that.
Yeah.
You have that from Sony and from Microsoft, yeah.
I don't understand that. But I think the Wii U is basically going to be a Nintendo machine. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of third-party stuff going on there.
Yeah, I mean, what do we know that's coming up for third-party stuff? I mean, there's Watch Dogs, supposedly.
Supposedly, yeah, maybe.
Other than that, I mean, I think it's mostly just indie stuff, indie download stuff.
And even that seems to be, like, dragging along. Like, I remember, like, last year, there's so many, like, Kickstarters. We used stretch goals, and they met them, and you just – then they fell off the fucking radar. I don't even know. Is stuff still coming out? Is Pierce Solar still going to be on there? Is that weird, what, Hat in Time or whatever platform you're going to be on? I don't know. They just fell off the map.
I know. Shovel Knight's still coming.
Yep, Shovel Knight's coming, yeah.
I'm
probably going to get that on 3DS, though. That feels more like a 3DS game to me.
Yeah, I think I only get one download code free from it from the Kickstarter, so I don't know where I want to get it. I sort of want 3DS, though. I think it'll look good in 3D.
I think it'll look good in 3D, and I just like playing those sorts of games, you know, on a handheld. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, so Wii U is in
not
a weird
since
place.
The N64 has it been such a first-party machine, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, even I feel like the N64 had some worthwhile third-party games. Like more than I mean, I like I said, I own like 15 games, and I think only like 4 of them were like third-party.
Uh-huh.
Like Monster Hunter, Sonic, Rayman.
Man, who's got like birds chirping and shit in the background?
Do I? Hold on a second. Let me take my headphones off.
It's not me. I can hear it in my headphones.
That's me.
That sound like it sounds like you're in the most happy place right now.
I guess I'd just leave the door open then.
I want to be where those birds are singing.
Yep, that would be me with the birds. Let's see here. Yeah, I mean, I guess to continue off that, the PS4 is doing really well, and the Xbox One. Microsoft obfuscates the numbers. They're like, when you combine the Xbox One and the 360, we're doing really well. Yeah, okay. But, yeah, my understanding is it's not doing super hot. I mean, obviously, you know, neither one of those systems have a must-own game. They just don't. Like, I've been playing Titanfall on the Xbox One. It's great. It's fantastic. I'll talk about it later. But that's also on PC. And you can make the argument that, like, PC and console players are often very different. We know that because we tend to skew towards consoles ourselves. But it's going to come out for 360 here in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even console exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Marketing would have you believe otherwise, but neither one of those systems has like a must own next generation game. They just don't.
That's why I don't own either of them.
Right.
The PS4 is a really great system as far as user experience goes. Xbox One, not so much. But yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised. I mean, as much as I like the PS4, I'm amazed that it's selling as well as it is. Cause there's just not that, there's just like nothing to play on it.
Yeah. I think people were just hungry. They're hungry for a new system.
Yeah. Wasn't
the Wii U.
That wasn't the Wii U. And you know, what amazes me about like the Wii U is that, you know, I play a game like Pikmin 3, which looks good. Pikmin 3 looks really good. Does it look Xbox One good? No, but it looks good. And it's 60 frames per second, 1080p native, and no screen tearing. And the Xbox One struggles to do less than that.
Yeah.
And so everyone's like, oh, the Wii U's so underpowered. I'm like, it's doing things your Mastodonian black box can't do, so I don't know what you're talking about. It doesn't matter to me because my primary TV is like 720p anyway. So it's not a huge, and not that shit really bothers me anyway, but, you know, the Wii U might be, has less specs, but they seem to be put to better use. But nobody thinks about that.
Also, I think Pikmin 3 is 720p.
Is it 720p?
I want to say yes. I'm sure you'll get people yelling at you in the comments if you got it wrong anyway.
Hmm. Well, I mean, there are games that do. I mean, you got Super Mario 3D. I mean, I just picked that game. You got Super Mario 3D Land. Those screen tearing, 1080p, 60 frames. So doesn't. I mean, pick another game. You know, there are games that do it. So, I don't know. This is a weird console generation.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for that game that is going to get me to buy a next gen console. I don't know when that's going to be.
And you might be waiting. Honest. I think you'll be waiting a while.
When's Final Fantasy 15 come out?
That might be it. Yeah, I don't think it's probably until like next year at the earliest. But yeah, that might be it.
Yeah, I think because I can't think of anything else that'll drive me to buy one of these systems.
Nope. I mean, you got Dead Rising 3 on the Xbox One, but and like Forza, but I don't know, those. You know, and let's see, you got Killzone on PS4, and then Infamous coming out here pretty soon.
Yeah, I've never played any of those, so.
Yeah, I don't feel like I've never been a big fan of Infamous myself. Yeah. So.
I played through the first one. I didn't play much of the second one, so it's not going to sell me a system.
Yeah, that first one was so long. It just kept fucking going.
Yeah. It was.
And everything was out to kill you in that game. Jesus Christ. So yeah, I guess that's about it for news. That's okay.
Things happened. Actually, I was surprised that Bravely Default charted in the NPD.
Bravely Default sold 200,000 copies.
Yeah, but Square Enix was probably expecting like 3 million. So,
right.
Too bad.
I don't think they care. They didn't publish in the U.S. Fuck them.
Yeah,
that's true. Good point.
They said like the localization of Bravely Second is reliant on the sales of Bravely Default. That blows my mind that, like, a handheld JRPG that isn't Pokemon sold as well as that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's really awesome. Maybe we didn't pass the test. I don't know if we'll get Bravely Second.
We'll see. See how those legs are.
Yeah, well, legs, I mean, that'll be interesting because, you know, word of mouth might spread after that. But, because, I mean, that's just the first month. Mm-hmm. But, like, did you guys hear, like, Tomb Raider has gone on to sell, like, what, like, 8 million copies or something like that?
Yeah.
Meanwhile...
Was it 6 million?
Was it 6 or 8?
I think it was 6.
6, my bad. Meanwhile, that everyone still got laid off.
Well, back when the game came out and it only sold, quote-unquote, 2 million, and Square Enix was, like, fucking riding the thing, like, game's not successful. Only sold 2 million copies. Wham, wham.
It was like 2 or 3. It was like 2 or 3 million in the first month.
I'm pretty sure it was over 3.
Yeah, like in the first month.
That was pissing me off.
Yeah.
That was so bad at Square. Mm-hmm.
And then, like,
I was like, fucking do your research. You should balance your budgets. Fucking shit.
So meanwhile, Square's raking in all the money from all those sales, and then everyone is jobless who worked on that game. Mm-hmm. So... Did you play that, Seth?
I have not.
Oh, it's really good. It's really good. I enjoyed it.
I'll get it once I get a PS4.
Oh, so you can have the cool hair effects?
Hell yeah.
He's like, I'm all about the hair, baby.
It's all about the hair.
Nice. So, do you guys have anything you'd like to add regarding video game news that we're just sort of half-assing this episode?
No.
Meh.
All right. Bah. So... so then let's do mailbag. If you're listening,
Shit, is that there?
That is.
I forgot about that portion of the show.
Wow, yeah, that's right. So if you're a listener, you want to get involved in the show, you want to ask us a question, leave us a comment, talk about some game you've been playing lately, whatever you want to do, tvls.net, click on the mailbag banner there and leave a comment. And we got a bunch of stuff here because it goes way, way far back. First up, we have Matt. And he asked, did any of us get Pizza Hut gift cards from Nintendo? Now, was this fake or was this real?
I have not heard anything about this.
Apparently, Nintendo is sending like $40 like Pizza Hut gift cards to people in the mail, like loyal customers or something like that. And there's like pictures of them on Twitter. But then someone said that they were fake. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I heard both. I did not get one, but no. I don't know whether it was real or not.
No, I did not get one.
Yeah, I didn't get shit, so.
Yeah, I'm loyal as fuck, so I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Pizza Hut sucks anyway. Whatever.
15 Wii U games, Nintendo. Give me a pizza.
Right?
Clock Blockers asks, how anal are you guys about different versions of games? If I see a PS2 game that has a little Peggy mark in color, it immediately tells me that the game is a reprint from 2009 and onward, and that I won't buy it. And for clarification, Peggy is a classification board in the UK? Or is it throughout more of Europe than just the UK?
I think it's all of Europe except for Germany, which has their, like, USK or whatever.
Okay. Gotcha. I have bought all my 150 PS2 games with this in mind, and of course, none are greatest hits are platinum. You know, we don't have that problem because the ESRB logo doesn't change colors from reprints. It did change in size. Like, it's changed, like, some of the, like, there's, like, E10 Plus and stuff now. And, like, I think they made the icon bigger over time, but it has nothing to do with reprints. It's just something they've done over time. But as far as, like, greatest hits and platinum games go, you know, that is reissues at cheaper prices with uglier cases. I used to buy them. I used to think, like, well, whatever. Like, it's not a big deal. I got it cheap and, you know, big deal, so it's red. But now I hate it and I don't do it.
I won't do it with the, like, the latest generation of systems. I have, like, a few PS2 games and I think one GameCube game that has it. I try to avoid them, but sometimes the price discrepancy is, like, way too much
for the
older systems. So I'm like, fuck that. I'll just get the red one or the yellow one or the green one in the original PlayStation's case.
The yellow ones are so gross.
I still think the Xbox 360 is the Xbox 360 or the regular Xbox? I don't know. Where, like, has the shrunken picture down and has, like,
oh yeah, yeah, 360
platinum hits all over it and all this shit.
The case is gray.
Yeah,
yeah, I think those are still worse. Those are my least favorite.
Yeah, those are my least favorite for sure.
I just don't understand what the purpose is. Like, I don't think it's that attention grabbing. Honestly, if that's the point, like, I feel like once upon a time, like, when Nintendo started doing it with Player's Choice, it was meant to look prestigious, like, oh, this game is really, really good and popular. So they actually put, like, a ribbon, like a gold ribbon or whatever on the box.
Yeah, like, the N64, the red transparent bar on the right side of the box was a gold transparent bar instead.
Yeah. So, and they would say Player's Choice. I mean, it sounded prestigious. Like, players love this game, and here's a little gold.
It'll be like over 1 million sold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Square Enix would turn their nose up at, by the way.
But even those, like, I try to avoid. But, like, these new ones where, like, the cases are different colors and the banners are different colors. I don't get it. I just never have. I don't get that. I don't know why they do that.
Punishment.
I like having all my, you know, all my game cases be consistent, and I don't know if you guys saw, I think they're changing the PS3 banner to be blue now instead of black.
Yeah.
And that's gonna bug.
Is this the third time they've changed
Second time it's the third banner.
Oh my god.
Like, come on, guys.
Well,
I guess they want it to be the same as the PS4 and the Vita, but that's annoying.
I think we'll just, like, confuse people more. I don't know why you'd want
them
to be the
same. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad they changed it in the first place because, like, the old, like, little red square that abrasive.
What, you don't like the Spider-Man square, man?
I do not like the Spider-Man square. So I'm glad they changed it. It looks weird. Like, you look at the shelf, you look at your shelf, and it's like all these, you know, uneven spines. But the second spine is the nicest one. But I don't know why they got to change it. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't understand the stuff. All right. Confused Batman. Looks like he's going to be talking about Gone Home here a little bit. I played Gone Home recently, and to quote the game, it led me like a shaken up soda can. It's like, I don't know what to say. It's not really in a...
Just read it, dude.
Well, he clarified later saying, like, I'm on an iPhone, so I don't know what the fuck happened.
I wasn't sure if that was some kind of expression that I
I can't put into words, or so bad I can't put into words type of thing. It's just I can't really pinpoint exactly how I feel about it. I thought the story was interesting. It seemed like a very odd narrative that you don't usually see in games. The way that you explore and show the given more chunks of the story also reminded me of the first Portal game with the Ratman Dens and how GLaDOS seemed to slowly reveal her intentions to you, which is something I really liked about 1 compared to 2. It kind of reminds me of when I was 5, and we lived in this very huge empty house and roaming around at the middle of the night and being creeped out by the very place that you've had a lot of fun in and you felt safe. He also asked if they knew that Caitlin was coming home, why'd they go on a couples retreat? Because Caitlin's a grown-ass adult and they probably don't care. There is just something about the story that really sticks with me. I'm not really saying that I could relate to the game. I've never been a college-age girl in 1995, but I finished it hours ago, and I'm still trying to register everything. I'm not one of those people who think it's not a game because it's interactive. But I don't know. There's just something about it that I can't identify for some reason, but it really stuck with me. Yeah, it stuck with me, too. I think Gone Home is very important because most video game stories... I mean, I want everybody who's listening to this right now to look at your video game shelf. Just look at your video game shelf. How many of those fucking games are about saving the fucking planet or saving the princess or whatever? It's all about some power fantasy about saving something. And ironically, the story is about saving something, but the only way you communicate with that world that you're saving is by slaughtering everything in it. Go figure. Most game stories are stupid and boring and the same stupid shit over and over again. Trying to tell a more human personal story like Gone Home did is harder. It's harder to express that in an interactive medium. So as much as I love Gone Home, I think it's terrific. I think it's a great step forward. It is a bit clumsy. It is a bit awkward. And it is difficult to register because of that. But I'm glad it exists. And I hate when people say, this isn't a game. What? So a game is only a game because you killed things in it? Like, come on, man. So I think Gone Home is terrific. And, you know, parts of it I can relate to, given aspects of my family. But... yeah, no, I think it's a terrific game.
I wanna do something similar that you just did, Craig, and point out another thing that I was impressed with in Gone Home. All right, look at your video game shelf, and look at one of your story-based games, and I don't know, one of the longer ones. Tell me how much like story is told within that 80-hour game, and through non-interactive cutscenes and all this shit. This game tells like I don't know, like 20 years worth of story just by exploring this house within a few hours, which I was super impressed by.
Yep. And so it's imperfect. Like, it's an imperfect way to tell a story, you know, where you got these, you know, it's, you got audio logs and you know, you're really just
there's
sort
still
of
a lot up. Of reading.
There's still a lot of reading. Right. It's not, like, perfect, but I think it's a really important step forward.
But exactly, even, like, the stuff, just by observing stuff in the house and comparing that to, like, stuff you may have read or seen other places in the house or whatever, it's kind of impressive. You're like, oh, that's where that came from. It came from that thing that I read a while ago. And it's neat. It's neat.
It is. Yep. Did you play this, Chris?
Nah.
I am not sure. That was a nah?
No, I have not. I have it on Steam, and I've been meaning to, but I haven't yet.
it's like an hour and a half.
All right, man. Give me a break. I'll play it before the next podcast, okay? So I got...
wow! He's telling you... You're getting testy. You got 2 months, guys. I'll play the game, goddamn.
Pretend it's Shenmue, dude.
What does that mean?
It's Shenmue. It's Shenmue. Shenmue had a story about opening all the drawers and shit you were going through.
Yeah. It's Shenmue if I gave a shit about Shenmue.
Craig, it's fine.
Would you like to play a game of Lucky Hit?
I always name the cat Mimi. Every single time I name the cat Mimi.
I name the cat Chibi.
That's stupid. That's stupid.
You're stupid.
No, I'm not. You're stupid. I named it Mimi.
We're all like, stupid, okay?
That's like a Spanish slang for like sleep time. It's Mimi time.
Oh, yeah.
It's cute. I liked it.
I like drinking Coke.
Craig, read the next fucking question.
And he'd slug it down and he'd be like, blah, good. And I'm like, who are you talking to, Rio? Blah, good.
I always got excited when I like won one of the prizes like on one of the coffees that you could drink in the game. It was like winning it in real life. I'd just make him sit there like drinking fucking... vending machines all day until he won.
There's literally nothing about that game that made me excited.
I hate you.
Oh, man. Clock Blockers says, I picked up Tales of Eternia on the PSP. I just found out there's a glitch in the first print run that makes it impossible to finish the game. How many modern games share this problem, and what do you think of it? Well, I think it's fucking terrible, but... It makes the idea of day one patches or patching in general complicated because everyone's like, it's a day one patch. And yeah, that's frustrating because you want to play your game. I get it. But at the same time, it also alleviates problems like this that just weren't picked up in playtesting. So patching definitely has its place. I remember I played, I was so mad. I played Renegade Kids Moon on DS, and there was a game-ending glitch. It doesn't make any fucking sense, and you're fucked. You're fucked. It was really interesting. You're on the moon, and there are segments where you're driving like a lunar buggy. And I was driving through this segment, and I got to a point where like I had to get out because there were like pylons. Now I had to like walk around as like my dude, go into an area and do some stuff, and then come back out, get back into the buggy, and then drive the buggy into like an elevator that I had activated, and bring that to the next section. The thing is like I just drove past the pylons and drove the buggy right into the elevator, which didn't work at that time. I had to go, and then I had to backtrack to the area where the pylons were, enter some crater inside the moon, and trigger the elevator, then come back out. The problem is, why this happens, I don't know. I don't know how you oversee something like this. And I love Renegade Kid, but they fucked up something fierce. If you do that, if you slam the buggy into the elevator before it's working, you can't, the buggy won't load in the next area.
What?
Yeah, it'll just be you. It just won't load that object. So then you have to run this gauntlet through a bunch of enemies. Now, if you're in the buggy, it's fine. You can go super fast. You can shoot at things. You'll get to the end, no problem. But the buggy did not load with me when I was trying to do this segment. So I kept dying over and over and over and over again trying to do that segment. And then one time, by the skin of my teeth, I got to the end of it. I don't know how it happened. But I couldn't, it wouldn't load the next area because it wouldn't load the next area without the buggy object. Why would you allow an area to load that required an object to proceed without that object? Like I said, I love Renegade Kid, but that seems like a huge oversight. So that happened to me, and I said, fuck this game, and I was done. By the way, guys, Moon is coming out to a 3DS soon near you.
Man.
Hopefully that's fixed.
I even tweeted at Jules Watson. I'm like, please fix the buggy glitch because I'm going to do it again because I'm a fucking idiot.
Fix the buggy. So you're going to do it episodically, Craig.
Well, the first episode is the entirety of the first Moon game.
Oh, I did not know that.
I didn't realize this.
And then every other episode is a follow-up to that. It was an interesting game. I mean, it was kind of glitchy. There were, like, weird sound glitches, falling through the floor glitches. It was probably their buggiest game. So it wasn't just that one game any glitch that threw me off. It was a couple of other things. But, no, I mean, it's sort of Metroid-y. It's pretty good if it weren't for the problems. And I'm assuming they're cleaning those up for the 3DS re-release.
Mm-hmm. As for modern games that have that problem, I read a few accounts. Not, like, a ton, but a few of people playing Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze where the levels wouldn't load after 3-1. Like, the map wouldn't, like, get the little trail in 3-2 and it load. So they were just, like, stuck at 3-1 forever.
What?
That sucks.
Yep. I think it was 3-1. It was one of the early World 3 levels anyway.
Nah, maybe and it's just still just loading because, I don't know, that game takes, like, 20 minutes to load each level. Yeah, so.
No, it wasn't that. It, like they'd return to the map screen and just, like, nothing would happen. So, well, and the only way to fix it was start the game over.
That sucks.
Yep. Which, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with because I fucking loved that game. So if I had to restart it, I'd be like, okay.
Well, I'm not a fan of restarting games, so...
But. Maybe if they hadn't left the buggy behind at the end of 3-1.
gotta stay on the buggy, Donkey Kong.
Let's see here. Justin A says, I played Rhymed Capsule at Craig's behest and really enjoyed the hour, so I spent with it. Just wanted to say thanks for the great game recommendation. I have really awesome taste, so you're welcome. I'm glad you took me up on that.
He's also very modest.
Yes, I am.
I'm glad Justin's here to feed your ego.
It's very fragile, so I kind of need that every now and then. Oligoballistic says, what are your thoughts on the Disgaea series? The only one I've ever played is the DS game. and I, what is it, Afternoon of Darkness or something like that, which I think is an adaptation of the first one from PS2 or something like that. It's a strategy RPG series that is massive and overwhelming, and I felt really discouraged trying to learn that game. Like, there are just so many battles. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy all the shit you can do. Like, to level up weapons, you go inside of the weapon and fight it, and then there's a battle to battle your weapon. Right? The game doesn't make any sense, man. So I played that for a while. I'm like, I have no idea what the fuck is going on. I'm fighting these guys. I'm fighting my own weapons. Like, I don't know. People seem to really like it. It's really big and complex. And if you like big, complex strategy RPGs, sure it's your thing. I was just kind of overwhelmed and discouraged myself.
Yeah, I've been terrified to play them just from hearing other people talk about them because they sound massive, and I hate massive games. I can't do massive games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I haven't played any of them.
Makilla Gorilla.
Makilla Gorilla.
I like that. Yeah, that is good. That is good. As a Wii collector, I find that it's difficult to explain in casual conversation why I collect the games I do. From my perspective, the Wii is likely to be very difficult to emulate down the line, as well as having several exclusive versions of games at far lower print runs than their mainstream counterparts. The comparison that Craig drew to the Sega Saturn, I feel, hits very close to home. The system was overlooked in its generation by most gamers for rather childish or just plain quote-unquote odd reasons. My question is not so much a question, but more of a talking point. We'll ask this. Do you think that the good and unique library of Wii games will become hard to find and or increase in value due to its overall, quote-unquote, odd nature in the market? I imagine it'll take some collectors a lot of patience to sift through the inevitable stacks of used shovelware. I think if any, like, modern console has a chance of having hard to find or games that increase in value, it would be the Wii.
Yeah. I mean, some of those games, I think, had pretty small runs.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, Xenoblade Chronicles, obviously, at the forerunner of that. But even, I don't know, stuff like Zack and Wiki and Tatsunoko versus Capcom, maybe? I don't know how big that run was.
Yeah.
I just like collecting for the, because it's such a unique system. Like, I think the Wii is really underappreciated. I think give it a couple years and people, like, you know, quote-unquote, the enthusiast crowd, for instance, will come around to him and be like, oh, shit, Sin and Punishment's great. Oh, Red Steel 2 is much better than I thought it was. Like, things like that. But, you know, when you have the Wii sitting next to, you know, all the other games that you can play on the 360 or PS3, I think a lot of people just rather play those at that time. So I think we'll need some distance from the Wii's lifespan before that happens.
Yeah, I mean, once the system has become retro, I mean, people who are going to be, you know, looking for that kind of thing aren't going to care if it's underpowered compared to whatever else is out there.
Absolutely, exactly. Because
obviously, all retro stuff is underpowered. So I think people will appreciate it more as time goes on, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially since, I don't know how to put it, I feel like a lot of the games are more gamey.
Right, no, they are. They're not these big blockbuster story driven million cutscene kind of games. Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they're like really good to just like pick up and get into real fast.
Yep. And I mean, for us and much of our audience, that's a good thing. That's what we like. For a good chunk of the game playing audience, that's not what they're into. They want their epic stories and their cutscenes and stuff. So, and their, you know, comprehensive online multiplayer. And generally speaking, you know, you don't get those in Wii games.
But people come around to it. You'll see.
I think they will. I think they will.
In 15 years, it's going to be the hot shit.
Yeah.
Probably.
Maybe. I don't know. But I think it's a good system to collect for. I think if you are a collector and you want to pick up some... I mean, a lot of games are cheap now. They might be more valuable later. Some odd games got really valuable. Just after the Wii launched, I bought a One Piece game. And I don't really know that much about One Piece. I'm not that into it, but it was One Piece Unlimited Adventure, I think it was called. And I bought it because there really wasn't much else happening on the Wii. And I was like, okay, it was like $40. It was like, it launched at $40. And it was decent. It was like an action RPG. I played it. I sort of enjoyed it. And then one of my viewers offered a trade. He said, you know, I'll trade you this sealed limited edition copy of Persona 3 for PS2 with the art book for One Piece. I said, sure. At the time, they were equal in value. One Piece had actually kind of gone up in value. It was worth about 50 at that point. It's actually worth about 80 now. It keeps going up.
Man.
I mean, I don't know if I really regret it because I'm more into Persona than I am One Piece.
Yeah.
But, like, the more I think about it, the more, like, I kind of want to play the game again. It was a really interesting game. But I don't know if it's, like, $80 want to play it again.
Yeah.
That's the problem. So, we'll see. But that's what happens. That's why, that's what we're talking about with the Wii here, where if there's any platform of the modern era that's going to have games that are going to go up in value or become hard to find, it is the Wii. And that's just one example right there.
Right now, for anybody who cares, just go on Amazon, start searching Wii games by, like, cheapest, and you'll find some good stuff as you're going through a lot of the crap.
Oh, yeah.
You'll find some good stuff for super cheap.
And there are games that aren't, like, that great, but are interesting, like, nonetheless. Like, they're worth paying the $10 or $15 for. They're not the world's greatest games, but they're worth checking out. Like, I still swear by The Conduits. I know, like, I'm maybe the only person in the world, but they're so stupid and inane, and you can get them for, like, nothing. I mean, just the ending, The Conduit 2, where, like, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, like, come through the portal, like, in power suits. I'm like, I need a Conduit 3 now. I don't even care. Like, that's amazing. I still love The Conduits. And are they the best first-person shooters around? No, absolutely not. They're sort of clumsy and weird. But they're worth whatever you can dig them up for. They don't cost anything these days. The second one's interesting because your all-seeing eye has the voice of, what is his name? John St. John or whatever the fuck his name is. Duke Nukem.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like you're just going around shooting people, shooting aliens. It's very Perfect Dark-esque, starring Duke Nukem is really what it is. Duke Nukem the beach ball, so... You know, I don't know. The games are... I like them, so...
I was going to recommend A Boy and His Blob, but it's like $45 on Amazon right now. Never mind.
Get the fuck out. Is it really?
Yeah.
I'm glad I have that, though.
Yeah, me too. You know what I love about that game? I mean, it's a great game. Great art. Fun game. But
is it the hug button?
The hug button. The end. That is a game where you have one button that's just dedicated to hugging your AI partner. That's it.
It's genius, really.
It is. It does nothing else but hug. There's no benefit to doing it. It doesn't, like, raise Blob's mood or anything. You just hug him.
And every once in a while, I just want to give the dude a hug.
Right, exactly. Like, thanks for turning into a ladder. I really needed that. Let's hug. Let's hug it out, Blob.
I love the hug button.
I think it's amazing you knew exactly what I was talking about. Jeremy says, hey guys, glad to see you recording again. I miss the sensual sound of your voices. Chris is very sensual. I think I'm abrasive. I don't know.
I'm hard right now just listening to him. I'm so sorry.
See you later, guys. I'm going to the zoo.
I kill some lions.
Kill some lions with my heart on. I'm going even...
Wow. Spiraled downhill. We were doing okay there. And then we just started talking about dicks.
I was trying to suppress it. I'm sorry.
The hard on or what came out of your mouth?
Everything.
Just sorry, tuck guys. It into your waistband and shut the hell up. I don't want to hear it.
That's poking me in the chest.
Not so much a New Year's resolution, but more of a goal I set for myself for the year is to finally catch up on Assassin's Creed games. That's a terrible resolution.
I feel so bad for you.
Oh, man. So I finally started the first one. I'm about halfway through right now, and I actually really enjoy it. What? Oh, okay. Nope.
It's okay.
Yeah. It's fine. You can like what you want. I was so bored by the first game.
I was frustrated with it.
The first time I turned it on, I was really kind of impressed with the graphics. But then I moved the camera like half an inch, and then the whole screen just tore apart. So I became less impressed with the graphics.
I was like, I liked, I liked everything about it except for the way you controlled and the way everybody yelled at me that I was an assassin even when I was doing fucking nothing.
Yeah. I mean, that game was just, everyone's up your ass about that game. You're trying to ride your, like, I always use this example, but you're riding your horse through the countryside and people yell at you. I'm in the countryside, it's a horse, it's what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to fucking Damascus.
I remember every single time you pass those crossroads, you're riding your horse too fast. Assassin! Because everybody who rides their fucking horse too fast is an assassin. That's what they did back then. But yeah, now anyway, what was he saying?
He goes on to say, I can see the complaints people have, but I also see the mass appeal and how the series likely gets better down the line. As someone who loves platformers, I really like the parkour elements, as simple as they may be in the first game. Basically, I'm liking what I'm getting into. I look forward to getting to later titles. Later titles are better. I really didn't like the parkour because it's so clumsy. I mean, we've talked about this before, but I don't think anyone's ever played Assassin's Creed and not, like, accidentally jumped in, like, the complete opposite direction off a building or climbed the wrong fucking way.
The problem is that, like, when R plus forward does every single thing in the game, then you're going to not go where you want to go.
Right. Yeah.
It may be too simple.
That might be it. But I just feel like it's just the weight to the character is just makes them feel really clumsy.
And stuff. Yeah,
when he turns around, like, combat seems a little clumsy. Everyone's like, I love the combat. I'm like, I hate the combat in this game. But, like, yeah, especially climbing stuff, and he'll try to, like, jump to, like, another ledge, but then he'll jump, like, 180 degrees away from it. And I'm like, nah, dude, this is not complicated. But, yeah.
They do get better, though.
Yeah, yeah. But, hey, Jeremy's digging it. But, nah, I was not into it.
Well, to be fair, this was a month and a half ago, so he may be sick of it by now.
Yeah, true.
Especially if he's playing all of them in a row. I mean, I wouldn't want to do that.
I don't know how you could not get burned out on that series playing them in a row.
I kind of like the Vita one, Liberation. That one's really interesting. Particularly, like, the setting, the time period, playing as a woman of color, and then using, like, different clothing to fit in with different parts of society. It's actually, I mean, it still has the clumsy ass fucking controls and people chasing and shit, but it has unique ideas, I think. And I really like that one.
I always thought it was weird that in the Assassin's Creed games, you're trying to, like, sneak around town, but they're always wearing these big assassin cloaks.
Yeah.
Why don't you dress like a normal person? Then maybe you could fit in, you know?
Worst assassin ever. Two-part question after that. What are your guys' thoughts on Assassin's Creed franchise? That about sums it up. And do you have any gaming-related New Year's resolutions or yearly goals? Thanks, fellas, and keep on keeping on. Do not have any gaming-related New Year's resolutions, no. Yearly goals in general? A job would be so good.
Keep painting, Craig.
Right? That's about it. That's it. I just want a job.
I got nothing. I know that I can't keep to anything I tell myself I'll do, so I don't bother anymore.
Trying is the first step towards failure.
It is. I can't trust myself to do anything, so fuck it.
I said I was going to exercise, and then I bought new sneakers, and they're still in the closet, so I'm just going to say no.
I'm just going to say no, nothing.
Just go running with Smokey, Chris. Do it for your dog.
It's been like 0 degrees here. I don't
run in the fucking snow.
Come on. No way, man. I'd fall and break my, I don't know, head.
Move out of Milwaukee. No, I'm just kidding. You stay there.
I like Milwaukee. I mean, the winter kind of sucks, but I don't know. I like it here.
How long is it winter there? For like 8 months?
I'm serious. I have not seen the grass since like December. Probably November. Actually, the snow just started melting. And today, or last night when I was driving home, I realized that our pumpkins from Halloween were under the snow.
Gross.
They had been put, you know, out with the garbage. I could see that they were buried under the snow for the first time since November.
Yeah. Did they
keep? That's how long the winter is here.
Are they rotten, or did they keep?
I haven't gone close enough to look.
Just wait till they, like, just mush into the cement and disappear.
That may be what I have to do because I don't want to touch it. I want to move it.
Yeah, that's gross.
Nathan says, hey guys, what do you think Nintendo needs to do to reclaim some of its market share? I hate seeing the Wii U struggle, but I am really at a loss for how they can recover. Do they just ride it out, like the GameCube, and then come up with something crazy again like the Wii? I love Nintendo, and they always seem to work best under pressure, so here's hoping that we can see them come back fighting. Anyways, glad you guys are recording again. Keep up the awesome.
They should make, like, a quality of life platform. That'd be awesome. Like, could it help your brain and your body? Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, they're going to see the Wii U through, but I don't think they're going to take a mulligan on it. They're just going to keep going, but it's not... I don't think it's going to do well.
If Mario Kart doesn't fucking help, then I don't think anything's going to help.
No.
So...
Mario... If honestly, Mario Kart Smash and X come out this year, and that doesn't do shit... They're fucked.
Yeah, basically.
Yes.
And they're in too deep. I think it's not fucking Virtual Boy where they have like 10 games. I think they're in too deep.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why they're going to ride it out, I think. But they're in such a precarious position. People hold Nintendo to such strange standards that I will never understand. I mean, like I said earlier about like performance on the Wii U versus... the Xbox One. Okay, the Xbox One got a ton of RAM, but what is it doing with it? You know what I mean? The Wii U is certainly less powerful, but it's using that power to have better performance. No one really thinks about that. Right now, I mean, of the three eighth generation consoles, it has the best library. Of course, it's been around longer, to be fair, but it does have the best library. But people are still ignoring it. They'd rather just buy an Xbox One and then play games on it that they could have played on their 360. Don't know why. I honestly don't know what Nintendo can do. There's just this stigma against their consoles, and just really has been. Even when they do really well, you know. Sony just announced that The Last of Us sold 8 million copies. That's fantastic. That's an awesome, fantastic number for an exclusive game. Nintendo is selling like 20 some odd million copies of games, like Mario Kart and Wii Fit. And New Super Mario Brothers Wii, like, they were selling crazy amounts of games that were exclusive to their platform. And then people are still like, well, who's buying games for the Wii? A fuck ton of people clearly are. So, like, we celebrate the fact that The Last of Us sold 8 million. Mario Kart sells, what, like, double that? And nobody bats an eyelash. It's like Nintendo just, they're held to really strange, different standards. And they're not going to recover with the Wii U. And they can come out.
I just looked on Wikipedia. Mario Kart sold 35 million.
Oh, my bad. So 35. That's
ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. That's what I'm saying. A lot of Wii games sold extraordinarily well. And then everyone's like, Last of Us. Wow, 8 million. That's a great number. 30 some up. That's insane. It's an insane amount of copies of Mario Kart. And
that's what I'm saying, man. If Mario Kart doesn't help Wii U, I don't know. I don't know what will.
Yeah. So they are held to very different. They complain like, oh, Nintendo's re-releasing stuff. Everybody re-releases stuff. Everybody's doing it.
Can't really blame them. I mean, I'm looking at this list of best-selling Wii games: Wii Sports, Wii Fit, Wii Sports Resort. You know, New Super Mario Brothers. No wonder they want to re-release these games on Wii U. All these sold over 20 million.
Yeah, they sold.
Can't blame them for trying to, you know, replicate that.
Right, which is exactly what every other publisher does.
Yeah,
and you saw like this sort of mentality, this double standard when it came to like Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze reviews. We're like, oh, it's better than Donkey Kong Country Returns, but it's not different enough. So. Womp womp.
What were we talking about?
We're talking about Nintendo reclaiming market share.
Oh, yeah.
And how they can recover. But I don't think they can. I just think people have made their mind up when it comes to Nintendo platforms. And plus,
developers don't want to develop on it because it's less powerful. Buyers don't want to buy multi-plats on it if they have more than one system because it's going to be the less powerful of the versions.
Less active online.
And in today's market, you can't make a game just for one console, or else you're not going to recoup your money because your fucking budgets are ridiculous. So I don't know what's going to, like, it can't recover. I don't think it can.
No. shame.
Sad truth, and I don't know what the fuck Nintendo's going to do for their next system. Yeah. Unless they do their whole handheld slash hook it up to a TV thing that people want them to do.
I want them to do that. I think that's the Nintendo.
Oh, you are a person, Craig.
I am a person. I think Nintendo handhelds are excellent. I've never been disappointed with Nintendo handheld. And I think making a handheld system that is like competitively powerful and has like a TV out and like Bluetooth so other people can connect theirs and play multiplayer or whatever, they'll figure something out. Is the way for them to go. I think that would be a really novel, interesting, fun concept that nobody else is doing, and it would make the most sense given Nintendo's position with the success of their handhelds and just how people treat their consoles.
And I was just arguing against this a few months ago.
You were.
Half a year ago. And like after this whole Wii U sales thing, I'm starting to think that they don't have another option.
No.
Yeah.
And they got to get their online act together. They have to have a unified account. You know, they have to get that kind of stuff together. They've done really good with social features with like Street Pass and Miiverse, but they need to expand on that. And I think they'll be in a pretty good position. I think something a system like that for their next console slash handheld would be really good.
But speaking of which, I fucking love that you could watch people's replays on Donkey Kong Country.
You can? That is,
I did not know that.
You did not know that you could watch people, like, if you go to the time trials, and then you could click on, like, anybody's name on there, and you could just watch exactly what they did to get that time.
Oh, that's cool.
I did not know that. That's kind of cool.
It's the best thing. Oh, God. Anyway.
Moving on. Helsinki Rock says, you didn't notice it, but there's an active conversation happening on the Teamulus forums right now. Yep, it's a small one, but it's there. Light flicker of life. And I'm its dictator, ruling with 1,985 posts. Just 15 shy. Finally getting to see what the 2,000 post icon is. I can't.
Do we have a 2,000 post icon?
I think we do have a 2,000 post. I think he did make it, and it was a secret. It's a secret one. I don't even remember what the fuck it is.
Well, then I didn't know that one never went live, so then I do know what it is. Huh. Okay.
Cool. Yeah, so we do have forums. We just, nobody, whatever. Clock Blocker says, welcome back. It's nice to see you guys in the mood for podcasting again. Grab some oranges and have a good time. Take care. Wait, oranges?
Are we like scurvy ridden? Do we need vitamin C? I don't.
Well, it's been 3 months since the last episode, so we probably had a joke about oranges that was completely off the cuff and we don't fucking remember it. But they do because they listen to it.
Huh. Okay.
All right.
Oranges.
Michael says, I'm trying to get into Saturn collecting, and I just want to know, what are some good, cheap Saturn games? Thanks. None. there are good games. The thing is, like, Saturn games get kind of pricey, particularly for North American games.
I think Panzer Dragoon 1 and 2 are pretty cheap.
They seem to be going up. I don't know.
Are they? God, they used to be, like, $10 or something.
No. No.
All right. This was probably like, I don't know, 8 years ago when I bought them, so...
Yeah, no, they're not. I want to say, like, last time I checked, maybe in the vicinity of $30.
Really?
Yeah. That's why I bought the Japanese versions of those. I bought the Japanese versions of Panzer Dragoon 1 and Zvi, because I paid, like, $15 for the pair.
Are the fighting games cheap-ish? The early versus game, like Street Fighter versus Capcom and...
Well, they're cheaper if you get the Japanese version. I mean, that's...
There's only Japanese versions of those.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if you're going to be collecting Saturn, you get one of those, what is it, the 4M carts?
I haven't, like, an action replay something.
It's an action replay something. Yeah, so you get this action replay cart for the Saturn. It acts as... it'll make your games region-free. It acts as a memory card and also acts as a memory booster, which some games require. So it's like this all-in-one cartridge that you're going to want to have. It's a must-own for any Saturn owner.
Especially if you want to save your saves because those fucking watch batteries die pretty quick.
They do.
So you want to back up the saves to the cart.
Right, yeah. So you can save on the cart. There's extra RAM in it, and it'll make your games region-free as well. My only recommendation is to buy, like, Japanese games, like, because, I mean, that's harder because if you, especially if you don't speak Japanese and you don't have the patience for that, but the games are so much fucking cheaper.
Just get fighting, just get, buy a bunch of fighting games and shmups and you don't need to fucking read English, so.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. That is true.
And the Saturn has a ton of those.
Yep. Yep. But yeah, now it can get kind of pricey with a lot of the North American Saturn games, which surprised me. But
well, it shouldn't. I mean, it was a pretty limited system over here, I think.
No, that's true. Ricardo says, "Hey guy, I'm glad you're back. I recently bought a 3DS XL. The first game I'll buy is Professor Layton and the Miracle Mask because I love the Layton games, but I need more than that. So, which game should I buy?" The games could be retail, eShop, virtual console.
All of them.
Oh my god! Yeah, where do we even start with this? My favorite game, my favorite retail game, is Kid Icarus. So instead of sitting here listing out a million games to get on 3DS, I'm just going to throw out my favorite retail game. That's Kid Icarus Uprising.
I don't know what my favorite game is, Greg. I was going to follow it up really fast, but I don't know.
Well, when it comes to the eShop, the level 5 guild games are, you pretty much can't go wrong with any of those. Some are better than others. Some of them might appeal to you more than others. But like Liberation Maiden and was it Attack of the Friday Monsters, A Tokyo Tale? Mm-hmm. I mean, those are fantastic. I really enjoyed the Starship Damrei.
Yeah, I was going to recommend that one. I like that one a lot.
So those are really good eShop games. Virtual Console, Adventure Island 2. For the NES just came out. That is my top 10 favorite NES games. It's fantastic. It's $5. It's terrific. I do recommend that.
If you like Professor Layton and you also like rhythm games.
Oh, yeah.
You need to get Rhythm Thief, man.
Rhythm Thief has such fantastic music.
It's so good.
Yeah. Rhythm Thief is really good.
Also, if you played 999 on DS and you haven't played Virtue's Last Reward on Vita or something yet, get Virtue's Last Reward.
I
fucking love it. And Chris is going to agree. But there's a lot of good games. Like Luigi's Mansion's really fun. I don't know. Fucking Super Mario 3D Land, I hate. Everybody else likes it.
One of the most bizarre name games that no one ever bought that I absolutely love on the 3DS is Dream Trigger 3D. And that's like a bargain bin clearance game now. And it's impossible to understand. You pick it up and you're going to lose over and over and over again, which I know it doesn't sound like I'm selling the game, but I am. Trust me here. You are going to suck at this game at first. But it's sort of like the opposite of most games. Most games give you like really simple things like press A to jump. And then they get increasingly more complex. Dream Trigger starts out like, let's say you start learning a language, right? It seems insurmountable. It's difficult. But it becomes easier as you go because you begin to understand it more. And that's sort of what Dream Trigger is like, where it's like really difficult at first because it's like this brand new concept. It's weird and strange. It's this strange, like, I don't know, music, color, synth, shooter thing. And it seems impossible at first, but once you start beginning to understand it, you get better at it. And then after that, it's not about the game increasing in complexity, it's about you using the skills you've learned to get high scores.
Man, you just made that game sound so not fun. It's a game that's like learning a new language.
It's so good. You don't understand. It is really, really, really good. It's this strange, bizarre game. But I mean, it's quick. It's a quick, snappy, shooty kind of game. It's really hard to describe. But, yeah, I mean, you're going to fail. But, I mean, it's like, it's almost like Super Meat Boy failing. Where like, oop, I failed, back in the game, you know? There's no real downtime. And once you figure it out, it's, I don't know, it's just a blast to use those skills. It's just really thrilling to use what you've learned. You've learned the game. The game didn't teach you. The game didn't hold your hand. You learned the game, and it just becomes really thrilling to use what you've learned to get high scores. And there are just so few games like that, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
Did nobody recommend Zelda Link Between Worlds?
Nope, we haven't.
That's what I was going to say. Zelda's really good.
Yeah.
See the Rhythm Final Fantasy.
Oh, that's fun.
Yep.
Pushmo and Crashmo are both very good.
Yep.
Wasn't there a Theater Rhythm sequel announced for Japan at least?
Curtain Call? Yeah. Yeah. But we haven't heard anything about it here yet.
Ship better come over.
That's what I'm saying. All right. Well, moving on. That's enough. That's enough games. Johnny 2900 says, what is your go-to food when you feel like having a snack while playing video games? While Doritos and Mountain Dew may advertise themselves as
what the fuck is wrong with you? You don't eat while playing video games.
I feel like there are better choices to be made. I'm not talking about gamer grub, though, for myself. Normally, I like to go for a bottle of green tea and maybe a bag of popcorn. Thanks, guys, and go with great work.
Don't fucking eat finger foods while playing video games.
Yeah, I mean...
I do agree, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with control. But here's... I mean, I do like to munch on things while I'm... So I might eat, like, baby carrots.
Oh, dude, I was about to say baby carrots. I swear to God I was.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, you're not going to mess up your controller. They're fine.
No, it's just...
On.
It's water on them.
Yeah.
It's fine.
And I'll drink anything from water to coffee to a beer when I'm playing, depending on when and what I am playing.
All right, so baby carrots are the only acceptable answer. You could dip them in something, but don't get the dip on your fingers.
Well, see, oftentimes my general go-to snack is popcorn. I love microwave popcorn, but I'm not going to eat that shit while I'm playing video games because it's all greasy. And
I will allow this. If you're eating popcorn, you pick up the whole bowl or bag and you, like, just stick your face in it.
And just kind of strap it to your whole head like a feed bag. That
just
might work.
Don't touch food and play games. I won't be your friend.
Right on. Nathan says, hey guys, just wondering what each of your favorite systems to collect for are. I used to collect exclusively for NES, but over the years my habits changed. Sometimes I'll be hardcore into collecting for a certain system for a few days or weeks, and then go to something else entirely. Right now I'm on a DS and PS3 kick, but who knows what next week will bring. Anyways, guys, glad you're recording again. I miss hearing your sexy voices while I work. Sexy, sensual, I don't know what's going on. We're getting hit on a whole lot here.
Yeah, I'm
married,
it.
Guys. I just want to throw that out there.
He's still a flirt.
He's still, you know, I mean, it's an open relationship.
I guess I can just look. Just don't touch. Hey, Nate.
I'm a lot like Nate, though, where I switch around between stuff. I really do like collecting for like NES and Super Nintendo though, because I like getting those boxes and the manuals and the cartridges, and they're so old. I like having these old nice things.
Yeah, see, I used to bounce around a lot too when I, you know, had money. I like collecting like strange things. Like I have like every NES e-reader card pack like sealed on the card. why? I don't fucking know. You know, so I would just do weird things like that. Obviously, the DS was a big system for me to collect for. I would bounce around. I have a bunch of N-Gage games. I have a bunch of Lynx games. And I wasn't, like, necessarily targeting. I'd just be like, oh, I just, you know, Lynx games are dirt. They give a lot of them are dirt cheap on eBay. Still sealed. You get, like, sealed Stun Runner for, like, $5. you know, I would bounce around a lot. Right now, because of limited income and all that, I'm more into the 3DS. Like, if I have to, like, zero in on something, it's really just a 3DS. Like, I have, like, almost 80 retail games for that. Plus well over 100 downloaded games. I don't even know. I mean, it's got to be somewhere between 120 maybe downloadable games on there.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I love the 3DS. Like, I do not fuck around with 3DS. I love it. So, and it's actually killing me that I haven't bought, like, Yoshi yet, because, like, I read the reviews. I'm like, this sounds kind of boring. And I want to get it because it's 3DS, but, and it's not going to drop in price. Let's be realistic here. So, it's just like, maybe I'll buy it later.
I really hope at the minimum that they fix some of the 3D layering in that game. I hope at the very minimum they did that.
Fixed it compared to when?
From when I played it last year.
Oh, where'd you play it at?
Comic-Con.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure we went over this.
I forget. We might have.
We did. Like some of the 3D layering was just super bad. Like, when Mario goes into a bubble, like, he looks like he's in the foreground, and, like, you can't interact with him and stuff like that.
What?
And Yeah, and then there was like some ghost enemies that look like they're in the foreground, like they're going to pass right over you, but they still hit you. It's just like really basic bad stuff.
Huh.
So if they fixed that at minimum, I mean, it was like last July that I played this, so they've had plenty of time. Then that'll go a long way towards making the game better, like right off the bat.
Wow, that's weird. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's getting these lukewarm reviews, and it's not like I base everything on reviews, but with limited money, I'm not going to be like, oh, lukewarm reviews, cool. I'm going to rush out and buy that.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, 3DS is really what I'm on right now.
I'm doing Neo Geo Pocket Color right now.
Yeah, so you got some of those boxes going. That's awesome.
Yep. It's actually like one dude who was like clearing out his collection, but he was doing them one auction at a time. So like over the course of like 3 days, I was like fucking bidding on auctions nonstop because he had them all spread out too.
Ugh.
But he was keeping them in nice ass condition, so they're all really good.
Nice
ass condition.
Nice ass condition.
Do you have any?
Do I have any what?
Do you have any snapper cases?
I'm getting one soon. I got like the King of Fighters R1, which was only released in Japan and Europe, I think, for the original Neo Geo Pocket, not mm-hmm. even the color. So that'll be my first snap case.
Yeah, that's interesting. There's actually a couple different types of cases, boxes or whatever, on the Neo Geo Pocket / color.
Like some of the releases, like I was looking into this and some of the releases are really weird. Like it seems like the last Blade didn't come out in the US until they started like just clearing off the games in the blister packs instead of in the boxes. So I don't think, like, even though The Last Blade got a U.S. release, it didn't get a boxed release over here.
Yeah, it was just in the blisters, yeah. We bought, like, a Neo Geo Pocket Color and, like, six games for, like, $15 at Walmart.
Yep. So, weird history there.
Yeah, that's a strange system. It's such a great system. I wish I had a backlight because everything about that's so super smooth. There's only like four colors on the screen at a time, but I love that mechanical click stick. I love how the system feels. I love even the boot up mm-hmm. sequence. That's such a cool little system to play. One of my favorite games on there is Gals Fighters. I love that. It's such a
God, I was looking for it. I know that game got a box release in the US, but I can't fucking find any anywhere.
Because it's hard to find. It's expensive.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the more expensive games.
Yeah, I got it.
Is it boxed?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'll buy yours off you.
No.
You need that money, dude.
No, I'm keeping my Gals Fighters.
That's
like one of my favorite. I think that might be my favorite Neo Geo.
I hate you so much, man. Like, I could only find Japanese copies of the game boxed. I can't find any.
I got it.
Man!
All
right, dude. Just when you're like, you still don't have a job in like 5 months. Remember that you could sell me that Gals Fighters.
I know. When you're living in the gutter, you snuggle that Gals Fighters. I remember.
No, you're
such a dick, Seth. Oh.
This guy.
I haven't been collecting much lately, but my favorite things to collect are original Game Boy games. Like Seth said, I love those old boxes and the manuals, but I also love the plastic inserts in there.
Plastic trays are the
best. I love those things. Yeah, the trays. Oh, those things are awesome.
I was doing Game Boy for a while there, too. I have a whole mess of boxed Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, and Game Boy Color games. I don't know, it just makes me kind of happy to have those, you know?
Yeah.
I think is like fairly cheap too. Like I don't like a lot of box stuff is like around 20 yeah. bucks, I think, which isn't bad.
Some of them are, it depends. I finally got the box for Skate or Die, Tour de Thrash. I did a painting commission for Nathan, actually, for Star Tropics, and he just bought it off eBay. Like that was like this trade painting for the box. That was the only, I've had an eBay alert for that game for 3 years. That was the first time it's ever been in a box.
Nice.
Yeah. So I have it now, thanks to Nathan. It was $70 and didn't even have a manual. I had the game, had the plastic insert, but no manual. I already have a manual because I mean it's easy to get like the cartridge and the manual. It's not that hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a few games that are pretty expensive.
But it's like, but I mean, that guy had the market cornered, you know, like nobody has a damn box. He can charge whatever the hell he wanted.
Yeah.
But that was like, that's been like my holy grail, particularly for like my Game Boy collection. You know, it's a game I had as a kid. I loved it. And, you know, I'm just so glad that the box art is fantastic too. I want everyone to Google Skate or Die Tour de Thrash right now and look at that box art. That is so good. So good.
My grail right now is the third Ninja Turtles game for Game Boy. I have the cartridge, but I don't have the box or manual, and it rarely comes up on eBay. There was one a couple months ago, but it was sealed, and it was like $200.
Yeah, fuck that.
No, thank you.
Dude,
I don't know how much one in the box is actually going to go for, but because it never comes up. But I mean, I'm not going to. If I can get one that's not sealed, I assume it'll be cheaper than $200. So
ideally,
hopefully,
I've been going crazy, man. Crazy. There's like not even any good pictures of box arts of Tour de Thrash.
What?
I don't think, like, there's, like, not even, like, good quality photos of the box art of Tour de Thrash online.
Oh, really?
Did Craig post one when he got it?
I mean, yeah, on the Facebook page. Yeah, it's on the Facebook page, yeah.
Yeah, but, all right. Just, like, in general, though, like, if I go on Google and type in, like, Skate or Die Tour de Thrash box.
Oh,
like,
wow, man, yeah, this is, wow, they're garbage.
There's, like, two really low quality fucking pictures, and that's it.
Yep, no, there's one on the Facebook page I posted.
Anyway, I've been going crazy trying to get TMNT on Game Boy Advance. Like,
yeah, what is up with that?
A bunch of Google sellers have it, like, quote-unquote new, and they're fucking not new. I know they're not new. They're all reseals. And they're just squished as fuck. And it's like, I got two different ones from there and from two different people, and both just crazy squished. One of them had, like, scotch tape on the box under the plastic wrap.
Oh, my God.
The other one looks like it was squished and then sealed because, like, the saran wrap, whatever. It wasn't, like, sticking, like, into the box anywhere. It was, like, still poofy around where the box was crushed. It looked like it was sealed after it was crushed. And they're really cheap. And they all say, quote-unquote, new. And they all have the box. They're just all in the shittiest of conditions. And I don't – and there's, like, none on eBay. I've seen one on eBay in a box for, like, $70. And I'm like, fuck that. I'm not paying $70 for this game. So I don't even – I've been going crazy trying to find this game. I don't know why there's not like a ton of copies. It's not like GBA was like a million years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just like a low print run or what. But, yep. Amazon has them. They're all crushed. All from third-party sellers. eBay has shit. So
– wow.
I've been looking every single day on eBay trying to find this, but I cannot – and it looks good. It looks like basically the Scott Pilgrim versus the World video game, but with Ninja Turtles.
Really?
That's yep. Cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Pretty sure the same team at Ubisoft worked on it.
Well, that's it for the mailbag. Again, if anyone wants to get involved, tvlist.net, hit us up on the mailbag. We'll read what you have to say on the show. And we're nearing the end here. We can talk about some games we've been playing lately, which... I'm just going to narrow down because it's been 3 months and I'm not going to talk about everything I played. So, I played Fable Anniversary. That came out. Super excited. I sat down and finished it in like 2 days.
Was it everything you remembered it was?
Pretty much, yeah. It's probably the best running Fable. Fable games tend to run like crap. But it ran reasonably well. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. It always frustrates me when I play a Fable game and I'm really having fun and then I remember like how much the internet hates Fable. And I just never really understood why, but nah, I mean, it's like $30 Fable Anniversary for 360. It's worth checking out if you've never played it. It includes like the Lost Chapters expansion as well. So, and I had a good time playing that. I picked up Epic Mickey. Was it Power of Illusion or whatever?
Yeah.
On the 3DS. Now, some people might remember when the demo came out, I played it and I was like, what the fuck? Because the demo was not very inspiring. It was developed by Dream Rift, who did Henry Hadsworth and Monster Tail on the DS. Both games I really enjoyed. Monster Tail is one of my top favorite games on the DS. But this felt like a huge step backward, like in the demo. And having played the game, it still feels like a huge step backward. Like, there's just so much talking. There's so much text. So much downtime. And then you have to be constantly using the touchscreen to, like, trace objects or wipe them out. And that just, it just breaks the flow of action so, so much. I'll be honest, though. I'm enjoying it more than I thought. Like, I'm actually not hating it. Having spent only, like, $12 on it might have something to do with that. But it makes me wonder if, like, Disney Interactive had something, like, some sort of input in that towards Dream of, like, oh, we want, you know, touchscreen commands where you have to trace objects and paint them into existence. You know what I mean? Because, you know, Henry Hatsworth and Monster Tale were both, you know, somewhat flawed games, but they had a, like, really strong design. Like, it really felt like Dream Rift got it. And this feels like two steps backwards. And it just doesn't feel very Dream Rift. So it makes me wonder if, like, Disney Interactive, like, as the publisher, was like, yo, you got to do this. And so, you know what I mean?
Yeah, personally, yeah. I would have scrapped the mechanic while... I mean, it's a neat idea, but I think anybody who playtested it would realize that it definitely slowed down the flow of the game.
So much, yeah.
It was a negative impact overall, so...
It would have been fine with touchscreen taps. Like,
if you just tap to fill stuff in, that would be a lot faster.
Tap to fill or erase. Just hit the L button to toggle between thinner and paint, like you normally would. And whatever you have selected, that's what would happen when you tap the object on the bottom screen. That would be okay. That would have been fine. But, like, having, like, stop the game and trace objects or wipe them completely out, so slow. Just slows, just bogs the game down. And I feel like they had to have known that. There's no way that after making Henry Hatsworth and Monster Tale, that same studio was like, yeah, let's just completely bog this game down. There's no way.
Right.
I mean, it's like a... I think it's a fun platformer in spite of that.
Or yes. Maybe,
like, it could have been a lot better, though.
Right, that's the thing. Like, if that whole, like paint system was changed up to just simple taps, it would be way better. Because the level design isn't bad. And as a platformer, yeah, no, it's fun. It's just that it's so broken up by having to do that stuff. And then you rescue people and you have like a 20-minute conversation with fucking Wendy from Peter Pan. Who gives a fuck? You do not have anything interesting to say, Wendy.
She calls fries chips. I feel like there was a... What's that? The whole sticker mechanic, too, or something. I felt that was underutilized.
Yeah.
Like, they introduce it in a cool way. I think you stop some, like, thwomp thing, some thwomp-type creature from, like, slamming down by using something to block its path. It's been a while since I played it. But then after that, I don't remember, like, any interesting uses for the stickers.
No. Not like that. Not in terms of, like, puzzle solving. Just more as, like, nothing. Kind of, like, more like power-ups, you know? And you don't even
forgot about the sticker.
Yeah, because you don't even need to use them, really.
Exactly.
They introduce it like, oh, this will be cool puzzle solving. No, that's it.
Not even. Yep. So it makes me feel like that you know, Disney had some input as the publisher, and it was maybe not the best for it. But I could be wrong. Maybe Dream Rift was like, let's make a game that's not as good as our last two. I don't know.
That's a good mindset to have.
Yeah. But I don't hate it. I do like it more than I did when I played the demo. But the same problems I have when I played the demo are obviously still there.
Mm-hmm.
I played Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare on Xbox One. It's also on the 360 and I think PC as well. This game is really, 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 really fun. It's multiplayer only, so you have to have gold to play it. There are two modes. There's a standard, like, multiplayer, like, deathmatch mode. And it's sort of class-based-ish when you're playing as, like, plants. I've only played as plants. I've never played as a zombie, but it's similar with the zombies in terms of classes. You know, you have the pea shooter, which is, like, your upfront, you know, offensive class. You have the sunflower, which is your healing class. You have the cactus, which... The cactus fires, like, thorns, and the further you are away from your enemy, the more damage it does, so they're kind of like snipers.
Uh-huh.
And then there are chompers, which are, like, melee class. They've, like, almost, like, one-hit kills. But you have to be, like, right up close on top of a zombie. I'm not a big fan of the standard multiplayer. There's a lot of... you know, when multiplayer modes, even like team matches, are like that big. I don't know how many people it's like 15 on 15 or some shit like that. And it's just too many people. Like, you can call it a team, but nobody plays like a team. So it doesn't feel like 15 on 15. It feels more like 1 on 15 is what it feels like. So it's like you're trying to do your best. You're hiding. You're following this guy. You're shooting him. And then some asshole you know is there just shot you from a rooftop. You know? And that's how those games play out. They're just too big, and I don't care for them. But there's a mode called Garden Ops, which is horde mode. It's defense. Everyone plays as plants, and you defend a garden from waves of zombies. To keep in line a bit more from the tower defense-esque game that, you know, Plants vs. Zombies started as, there's like pots, like planter pots all over the map, and you can plant seeds to act as defensive things. You can, you know, shoot. They can shoot or spray gas or heal or whatever. And that mode is a lot of fun. I play a ton of that, and I've gotten really good at it. I really, really enjoy it. You have to survive like 10 waves, and then the final wave, Crazy Dave or whatever comes in his flying RV and picks you up. And it's sort of like Left 4 Dead, where you have to like wait for him to come and survive in the landing zone when he comes to pick you up. So that is actually a lot of fun. You earn coins doing kills, healing, whatever, just basically contributing. You earn coins, and then you spend the coins to open sticker packs, and sticker packs will have seeds to put in the planters. Higher level, more expensive sticker packs will have pieces to new characters, which sucks, because then you have to earn all these coins to open a sticker pack. Then you get 1/5 of a new character, and it's completely random, and it'll just take fucking forever. It's really out of balance in terms of grinding. Now, me personally,
this is an EA game, right?
Yeah.
Can you just like buy some sticker packs or buy some characters?
No.
What? That doesn't sound like the EA I know.
Well, some people have speculated that that sort of economy is that tough because they might introduce the ability to buy it with real money later.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why you wouldn't just start off with that. But yeah, no. For me personally, like, I enjoy the game so much that I don't mind that it takes so long to unlock things. Like, the most expensive sticker pack, I think, is like 40,000 coins. And in an average, like, when I do really well in a Garden Ops match, I will, if I do well, this isn't average, if I just do extremely well, I earn about 3,000 coins. The best sticker pack you can open is 40,000 coins. And you're guaranteed a new character. It's not pieces. You're guaranteed the entirety of the new character somewhere in that sticker pack. So you need 40,000 coins to do that. And my best. So, but for me, I don't care. Like, some people who want to have that progression and things like that.
What is it, like around 12 or 13, like really good games that you have to play then? And it's not like it's not a horrible amount.
No, but you also want to be opening other sticker packs because, like, the seeds that you use, the plant and the pots, those come from sticker packs.
I see.
So, I mean, it's like you also want to, like, open, like, lower level ones, like 1,000 or 5,000 coin packs to get more seeds, otherwise, because some matches I just don't plant seeds. I hope other people do it because I just don't have any.
And so they're all just one-time use.
Yes, yep. But you can get a bunch of them, and it sucks because it's like if you enter a match and no one's a healing sunflower, no one's playing the sunflower class, and no one's planting sunflowers, like there's just no way to gain more health, and it sucks. So
can you see what other people are? What characters they are, like, as you're choosing your own or before you choose your own?
In the beginning of a match. If you just dumped in a match, obviously not. But in the beginning of a match, you can see what people are selecting if they select it quickly enough. So if I'm watching and I see someone go, pea shooter, cactus, okay, fine. Then I'll be the sunflower. That's fine. I'll be a team player. It's fine. I'll still earn, you know, 2,500 coins being a sunflower. But it's really frustrating when you drop into a match and everyone's a fucking pea shooter.
I was picturing that sentence out of context. I'll still earn 2,500 coins being a sunflower.
I don't even understand what you can pull from that, but okay.
It's just a really ridiculous thing to say, Craig.
Yeah, I suppose so. But it's a fun game. You don't need an Xbox One to play. The only benefit, the Xbox One version is $40, but there's couch co-op. You can do split-screen garden ops. The 360 version, you don't have split-screen, but it's $30. And more people probably own a 360. And I'm telling you, the multiplayer mode's fun, but it's just not for me. That kind of multiplayer is just not for me. The garden ops, though, awesome. Well worth the money, in my opinion. I've had so much fun with that, regardless of how long it takes to unlock shit. Because that doesn't matter to me. I'm just having fun shooting zombies' heads off. I play a lot of Bravely Default. Did you guys pick up Bravely Default?
Yes, but I haven't touched it.
Wow.
I played a little bit of it.
Wow, okay. So I played a fuck ton of Bravely Default. I'm still not that far, though. I played like 30-some-odd hours, but I've been spending a lot of the time like grinding because in Bravely Default, you have jobs, and you can mix and match jobs. So as your character levels up, so does their job. And when their job levels up, you earn static abilities for that job. So if you're like a black mage, you can earn the ability to cast higher level attack spells. Then if you feel like it, you can then take that character, switch it over to, you know, I don't know, a monk, which does pretty decent physical, it's fast and does pretty decent physical damage. And then equip the black mage abilities to the monk as backup, so that now that monk can actually use black magic. And so I've been doing a lot of mixing and matching like
that. Sounds a lot like what game? Dragon Quest VI has that.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm sure there's other RPGs.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the one I'm most familiar with.
So I've been doing a lot of grinding. Like, I have a monk summoner. I have a hunter thief. And she's ridiculous, dude. Her speed's amazing. And I gave her this really high-level bow. She's my tank. Like, my hunter thief is my tank. but I love it. The battle system has a few different intricacies. It's not terribly complicated. It's introduced to you in easy-to-digest ways, unlike the demo, which was garbage. It didn't really teach you anything. And it even makes grinding fun. It's a really fantastic JRPG, and it's easy to see why it sold as well as it did.
How are the characters, Craig? I've heard mixed things on the characters. Some people seem to like at least some of the characters. Some people seem to hate all of them.
They're just JRPG characters.
Yeah, okay.
Ring a bell is a ladies' man. You know, Agnes is sort of like.
Soft-spoken. Still can't get over the name, dude. Ring-a-bell?
Well, his name's he has amnesia. He doesn't know who he is. So I think that the pun is like...
Oh, God. Okay. That's all the explaining that needs.
Which I actually kind of like that. I actually thought it was kind of funny.
Did you see the interview where the writer for the game said that like the inspiration for the characters came from the 90s 90210 show?
No, but that's fantastic.
Yep.
That's so good. Like, so it was like Tiz, like, freaking. Is it Jason Priestley or what?
I guess. I don't know. I haven't played the game, man.
The game is fantastic, though. It's a really fun JRPG. It's got some, you know, fun social elements with street passing. I love it. I think it's terrific. One of the best JRPGs I've played in some time.
Like, I don't have time for an RPG right now. That's my main problem.
Yeah, no, I understand. No.
Yeah. I started playing it. I'm maybe 5 or 10 hours in. I'm not super far.
Right.
And then everybody started getting to the point where apparently it gets really hard or it gets not a... It goes downhill at a point or so, I've heard.
Yeah.
That kind of, you know... I don't play a ton of RPGs but that kind of turned me off of it.
I've seen only two types of Twitter posts about that game. Either, man, this is really easy, or, man, fuck this boss, he's killing me one hit. That's like just – it's one or the other. I haven't seen anything in between.
Well, it just depends on how you play. Like, for me, here's what happened. I had the demo. So did my friend. We street pass each other every single day. Each time you street pass, you have like – Tiz's hometown was destroyed. So each street pass that you get adds a new citizen – to your destroyed town. me and my friend would street pass each other every single day, so we would get a new citizen every single day. You then use those citizens to help rebuild the town, like the different weapon shops and things like that. So, and the more citizens you apply to a task to level up a weapon shop, the less time, real world time it takes for it to be completed. So right now I have well over 100 citizens, which is a lot.
Yeah.
And I was able to completely rebuild that town in a record amount of time. And so I had access to a ton of really really good gear. I also spent some time grinding, like I said, with the jobs and stuff. So, I mean, I was, like, leveling up quite a lot. And then the other thing I did was, in your town, monsters kind of appear in that town on that you're rebuilding. You get them through spot pass and street pass. And you can set your own to be, like, you'll have, like, a whole collection of them. You can defeat them. You can fight them at any point. You'll get experience and money for it, whatever. But people have a habit of signing high-level ones because they think they're being smartasses. So you get, like, a level, like, 99, like, weird duck made out of Skittles or something, and it's impossible. And one of the monsters is called a mammon. And mammons carry two different items, ethers and elixirs. And ethers just restore MP. They're not worth a whole lot of money. Elixirs are like the best item in the game. Completely restore HP and MP, and they sell for 25,000 gold or whatever. So what you do is you keep street passing and spot passing until you get a mammon that has elixirs. And then you have a thief. You set everyone in your party to run. You set the thief to steal. The thief will go first because it has high speed. It'll steal the elixir, and then you'll run away. And then you just keep doing that over and over again. And then not only do you have a stockpile of the best items in the game, you also have a fuck ton of money once you sell them. So I have want for nothing in this game. I'm just destroying everything in my path.
You're just breaking the game. You're breaking the game. It wasn't designed for that.
I beg to differ.
Oh, that's funny, though.
Yep. So you can lock a monster so that it won't get bumped out by a new one from a street pass. So I locked my mammon, and then I have it set to send so that when I get street pass or spot pass, people will get them. I'm sharing. I'm spreading the love, you know?
You're basically just milking this poor beast. He's your captive. You're just tormenting him.
Yep. And I can't do shit because I run away. I just steal and run away. Steal and run away. Then nothing happens.
Got your elixir later, bitch.
Yep. Pretty much, yeah. It's totally a chick, too. It's like a chick with like these four arms. It's like, thanks for the elixir. See you later. I'll give you a call. And that's I'll call you sometime.
Oh, that's mean.
Yep. So that's what I've been doing. So, yeah. So, again, I love Bravely's Fall. I love exploiting the shit out of it. And there's a guy, he must live right next door to me, because I street pass him every single day. Every single day I get this new street, he must live right next door. I don't do anything. So that's helped out a lot, too. But fantastic game. And finally, I have been playing Titanfall. And I played Titanfall, God, at least 8 hours yesterday. I have not done that in so long. I felt like a piece of shit. Like, wow, you are a caricature of an unemployed millennial. You just sat down and played a pew-pew game for 8 hours. You stupid bastard. It's so fucking good, though. It's really, really fun. It's sort of like Halo, where it walks that line between being, you know, hoorah militaristic and sci-fi, mm-hmm. where it's like, it's not too sci-fi, but it's not too militaristic either. It's all completely multiplayer. Unless you're playing Last Titan Standing, you start out as a pilot, which is, you know, just a human. You're referred to as pilots. And pilots are really well equipped. You can run super fast. You can double jump because you have jump jets. You can run along walls. You can mantle up over things, and everything's super fast and super smooth. So pilots have a lot of momentum and verticality. You also have like equipable abilities. Like one of my abilities is the ability I've equipped is Stim, which allows me to run even faster, and I have a little bit more health while it's active. It also has a cooldown. You can customize like your weapon loadout. They're just boring shotguns, rifles, whatever. Who cares? You have anti-Titan loadouts. Now, that's where that gets interesting. My anti-Titan gun is a magnetic grenade launcher. So it shoots magnetized grenades, and they just stick to Titans.
So that sounds awesome.
It is awesome. It is awesome. And when you're playing, it's like 8-on-8, 8 humans versus 8 humans. And then there's also like AI-controlled like peons on the field as well, both on your side and on the enemy side. You do gain points for killing them. They're just sort of fodder. When you start the match, you have about 3 minutes until your Titan can be dropped from orbit. Killing player characters decreases that time. Why? I don't know. That doesn't seem very scientific to me, but
that's... Your souls are sacrificed to the great Titan god.
Right. So then you'll get reminders like 2 minutes until your Titan's ready, pilot, and you kill, and you know then you're told, you know, you're ready for Titanfall. And then you press D-pad, you point your cursor wherever you want, and then it drops your Titan. And then it's covered in a dome shield, so once you run up to it, no one's like fucking you up while you're climbing into your Titan. Comes online, and now your Titans can have all kinds of loadouts. Like, you can have different kinds of primary weapons. My primary weapon that I'm using right now is a grenade launcher. It shoots out a barrage of grenades. I'm not so sure how much I like it because it doesn't have a really good range. And then you have, I'm trying to think here, like a secondary weapon, like usually rocket-based. Like, mine shoots cluster bombs. Basically, my Titan's equipped to be, like, really fucking annoying. It's not good. It's not good one on one. But if there are teammate Titans around, like I'm the guy you want backing you up because I'm gonna irritate the shit out of the other players. Grenades are annoying. You don't want to be dancing on those. The cluster bombs, they don't do a whole lot of damage, but they pick away at the Titan shields. You don't want that either. Whoa. And yeah, I don't know. And then there, my tactical ability is it's called the fart cloud. The fart cloud. Basically, it releases an electronic storm area of effect. And if you're in a choke point, that's really easy to use. So you're fighting a Titan. He's approaching you. Your shields are chipping away. You got the fucking AI beeping in your ear, warning Titan engaging. Then you dash backwards and you drop the fart cloud in the choke point. They don't want to go.
Official name?
No, nah, I think it's like electric cloud or something. It just looks like just this big fart. All right. The thing is, it doesn't do a whole ton of damage, and you can dash through it. The thing is, I've noticed that most players like baby their Titans. They don't want to lose it, so they don't want those cluster bombs falling on them. They don't want the fart cloud on them. They don't want to be dancing on these grenades. So I'm really bad at, like, directly attacking, but I irritate the hell out of them, and they just don't want to stick around. So I'm good as backup. But the fart cloud's also great because what you can do in the game is it's called rodeoing a Titan. You can jump up on an enemy Titan and then destroy its power core. And what I do is if someone's rodeoing me, I kneel down, drop the fart cloud, and then kill them while they're sitting on top of me. I'm like, fuck that. I just kneel into the cloud and they die. That's what you get for trying to climb on me, asshole. Because otherwise, it's tough to shake them. Like, you can pop out of your Titan and try to fight them off, but that doesn't really help. If your shield regenerates, your health does not on your Titan. If both are gone, you're in what's called doomed status. That's literally what it's called. It's called being doomed. And you can still fight, but you're fucked. You're not going to regen. Nothing's going to happen. You take any more hits, you're basically gone. What's interesting is that there are different things you can equip that affect your doomed status. Like some people, when their Titan is doomed, go nuclear and just have, like, they basically martyr. They just blow up everything around them. What I have equipped, because you can eject. When it's doomed, you can hit X and eject. What I have equipped is auto-eject. Once my Titan is doomed, I'm getting the fuck out of there. I don't care. I auto-eject. I cloak. My pilot automatically cloaks, auto-ejects straight up into the air, and then I try to land on the nearest rooftop, and then I just shoot my magnetic grenade down on the asshole who just tried to kill me. Which is really funny, because someone tried to teabag me. Now we got Titan teabagging. So I got killed. My Titan got destroyed. I ejected. This Titan starts teabagging my Titan, and then it had like no health left. So I just thawed out a couple of these grenades, and then it died. That's what you get for teabagging my Titan, dude.
God, I think science has gone too far.
I know. But no, the game is just really fun, and the loadouts just have a lot of different. Some loadouts are definitely better than others as you gain levels. The things you have access to are certainly better than some others. So obviously higher level people do have an advantage, but a lot of them really aren't so much better as they are, just different, you know, just coming up with different strategies. Like I said, my Titan is not really equipped for one-on-one battling. It's just equipped to annoy the shit out of everyone around me. And that's what I aim for. And because I auto eject before it dooms, I don't even care. So like, whatever, fight me. I'll auto eject and then I'll get another Titan later on, whatever. So, it's a ton of fun. I have not had so much fun with a first person shooter and I can't remember how long.
Sounds neat.
Yeah.
I just wish it wasn't online only.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, honestly, it really, I really wish that too, but it doesn't really matter. I just mute my headset and then I just sit there and play. It's not a
big... I mean, it doesn't matter because I'm not going to be buying the game for 360. I don't have a one, and I don't have a live right now. My live just expired, so.
Oh, okay, so yeah, I guess it doesn't matter. But I mean, it just doesn't. Honestly, I thought that would bother me too, but it just doesn't.
No, I mean, I could understand. Like, I mean, if you're going to go just multiplayer, go all in with it. I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm not like knocking the game for it myself. Just
right.
A preferential thing for.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm just throwing in my two cents in the fact that, like, my preference would not be online only either, but somehow it just doesn't even bother me. Even the campaign's online only.
Hmm. There's a campaign?
If you can call it that.
Okay.
It's just a series of, like, there's two battling factions. They don't really explain. There's the IMC, which is, like, I guess some sort of military faction. Just, I don't know. And then there's the militia. And I think the militia are like rebel freedom fighters or something. And the IMC, I think the militia wants control over like frontier planets or something like that. You know, it's like, well, we're way the fuck, sort of like Firefly. Like, we're way the fuck out here. Get off our fucking planets. And IMC's like, fuck you, motherfuckers. And so the campaign is you start out playing as IMC and you play through a few missions as IMC. And then you play through the same missions as militia after that. And it's just like, it's hard to empathize with the IMC. Like, why am I playing as them? They seem like dickbags. I don't know.
Brown coats all the way, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, but they don't really tell you the story. Like, it's sort of bookended with, like, vague cutscenes, and then you're thrown into a multiplayer match. So, that's about it. That's the campaign. But you want to play through it, because you'll like, level up. You'll learn the ropes. And when you complete each side, you get access to a new mech chassis. So you'll want to do that anyway. But it's really annoying because like people who are a high level play through the campaign again. Don't do that. You're being an asshole. Like when I first started playing, my side would be all IMC people because they just started playing the game. We'd all be like level like 3 or 4, and I'd be fighting against militia people, and they'd be like level like 30 something people on that side. And I'm like, no, go play regular multiplayer. What are you doing over here? This is for us noobs. And we just—I
was going to say the campaign might be good for, you know, because then everybody who's playing it is just starting, so you don't get that, you know, that thing you get into with Call of Duty where everybody's crazy good. But it sounds like that still happens.
Yep, and people have been playing it a lot. Like, are you familiar with your prestiging in Call of Duty?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This has prestiging. They call it generations. They call it gens. I was fighting against people, like, the opposing team had, like, 2 Gen 2s and 1 Gen 3. How the... What the... I can't even imagine. I'm like, I played a ton yesterday, and I'm only like level like 34 or something.
Are they developers? I don't.
The guy, yeah, man, just people with just no life. They just took off a week from work, and that's all they've been doing. It's a fun game, though. I'll give them that. But I played 8 hours. And I felt like a scumbag. But I love it. I love it. I'm really surprised. I expected to like it based on what I knew about it. I just did not expect to enjoy it as much as I do. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Cool.
I don't know. Where do you guys go? Seth, you go.
I go. What have I been playing? I've been playing Yoshi Topsy Turvy. Which I think was released as a Yoshi Universal Gravitation and every other place that's not America's.
Yes.
It's sort of, it's weird. There's levels, and then each level you have a mission that you have to complete on that level, and each mission is dependent on the world you're in. So world one, like the levels, you have to like eat a certain amount of apples, which turn into like egg creatures. I don't quite understand it. So like, say on level one, you have to like eat at least 3 apples. And if you eat like the minimum 3 or a little over that, you'll get like a silver medal for the level. If you eat like a ton, like maybe 8 or 9 of these apples, then you'll get a gold on that level. And then what? I don't, and then the second world, like instead of apples, you have to like get a certain amount of coins on the levels. And then on the next level after that, instead of getting coins, or in the next world, instead of getting coins, you have to kill a certain amount of enemies. And then maybe they'll mix it up where you have to get like kill a certain amount of enemies and get a certain number of coins. So then they'll start getting like double requirements on these levels. The whole gimmick of the game, of course, is that you could tilt the world with the cartridge has like an accelerometer in it or whatever. So when you tilt the world, you could affect different things in the world. Like there'll be like these furled up carpets. If you tilt in the opposite direction that they're furled up in, then they'll unfurl and you could use them as platforms. For example, if you tilt the console in a direction like towards a vertical wall, you'll be able to walk up that wall because I guess you're making the wall into a slope. But it still just looks like you're walking up a fucking vertical wall. Right? I mean, like, you could see the entire, like, if you're playing, like, your Game Boy and you're just tilting it slightly, you don't, like, automatically think, like, hey, that wall's a slope. No, it still looks like a wall because you know the orientation of it compared to the system. But in this game, and it's like, hey, it's a slope now. But no, it looks like Yoshi's, like, Spider-Manning up walls and stuff. So it's really weird. And it's kind of awkward looking because it doesn't look like Yoshi's standing at, like, the right angle either to be, like, walking up a slope. There's also, like, chains and stuff that you can, like, swing it back and forth to break walls. Or, like, you know, like, those ship rides at fairs where, like, the ship will swing back and forth and eventually might, like, start doing entire loop-de-loops?
Yes.
Like, okay, there's like ships like that in the game where you could like stand on it and then rotate them back and forth until like Yoshi is going upside down and you're collecting coins and stuff. The levels are fairly short. Like each level is made out of like maybe 5 different screens, and each screen probably takes like 30 seconds or less to get through. So they're like really small, bite-sized levels. But there's a lot of them. Like, the first world only has, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 levels. But then by world 4, which I'm in right now, I think there's, like, 8 levels in the world. So, like, they get more and more levels per world that you're in. The whole thing is, like, a neat concept, but it just seems so fucking underutilized and kind of boring.
Yeah, it's sort of, it's like proof of concept almost.
Yeah, like, they're like, hey, these are the things that you could do. But we didn't make a game out of it.
Yeah, it's like a tech demo, yeah.
Yeah, we just left it in beta stage. And that's kind of how it feels. Like, there's no egg throwing or anything. Yoshi can't, he eats, he could still eat whatever, but they don't turn into eggs. There's like no, the world I'm in right now, I think world 4 has like, you got to speed run the levels. You got to get through the levels in a certain amount of time. And I think those are like the most interesting so far, just because they're the most difficult. All the other stuff is just really kind of really simple and it's not that engaging. I feel like if they had actually designed a Yoshi game around these mechanics, it could actually have been pretty cool. But as it stands, it's just really – it's kind of just too simple. So there's that. I played through Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, which I fucking love so much.
Oh, you finished it?
Dude, I finished it like 3 times. I've played through that game so many times.
I played a little bit of it. I didn't want to talk about it too much because I haven't played that much, but it's good.
I love the game. Like, I honestly think it's my favorite 2D platformer. That's how much I love this game.
Wow.
It feels like the levels feel very, I guess, organic and natural. Like, everything is part of something else. There's no, you know how, like, and then it's not knocking the games or anything, but in Mario games, like, shit just is everywhere, not haphazardly, it's all well-designed, but everything's just everywhere. It's just, yeah, exactly. It's all very,
it has context.
Yeah, everything in talking, like, all the platforms are, like, part of trees or something mm-hmm. in the background, or part of cliffs or something like that. Of course, there's still floating barrels. You can't have a Donkey Kong game without floating barrels. But other than that, like, everything, it feels very organic. It feels like you're actually in a place, like in an actual place that could exist, I think, instead of just in some magical, weird fucking Mario world. Which are fine, but I think it's a very neat feeling. It feels like you're actually in locations. I like the new characters. Dixie has like her little helicopter twirl, and you get some height with your jump, and Cranky is basically Scrooge McDuck from the DuckTales NES game, where you can just pogo stick over anything, like spikes, spiky enemies. Not fire, though. You can't touch fire. He doesn't like fire. So those are your different pickups that you got on your back. And I don't know, the levels are just, they just feel really good to get through. I mean, Donkey Kong Country Returns was also felt really good, but so it's still in that similar vein, but they're also just designed around these new characters as well. There's no more blowing. They got rid of that mechanic. The new mechanic is plucking, obviously, where you could just pull up different rings and change the levels around a bit, and also pick up different enemies and throw them at things. God, I love that game. The music is amazingly good.
Yes,
music is awesome. Yeah,
yeah, it's really, really good.
Yeah, obviously, they got David Wise from who did the original.
I like how almost immediately they throw you into the water.
Yeah, I mean, that's the very first thing. They go, hey, there's fucking swimming in this game, see? It's unavoidable. Very first thing you do, yeah, you go down a little slide into water, and the music automatically changes to, like, an aquatic ambience remix from Donkey Kong Country.
Yep.
So they're like, here's water, here's awesome music, Donkey Kong swims again. They actually have an entire world that's water-based. There's only a couple land-based waters, and that whole world, like, a lot of people hate water levels. I'm not one of them, first of all. I like water levels in games. But the water levels in this game are just so good. Just the atmosphere and the music and everything that's going on. And they're not just all calm and relaxing. There's some, like, crazy shit with octopuses chasing you around and stuff. It's really good. The art style's good. Of course, they got some of the silhouette levels back and stuff. There's not as many minecart levels. I want more minecart and more rocket barrel levels.
I'm bad at those. I can live without them.
I love the minecart levels. Yeah, I agree. I think there's only an eShop game just of those.
That's what I'm saying.
I would buy that.
And I'm saying that, man. I think there's only like 3 or 4 minecart levels in this one, which isn't a ton. What else? The time trials are really fun. As I mentioned earlier, you could actually go into the leaderboards for the time trials and watch other people's replays. Your replay will automatically upload. If you submit your time, when you play the time trials and you watch the time trials, you realize how like perfectly designed the game is for speed. Like when you're going through and playing through normally, you're looking for secrets and stuff like that. When you're doing the time trials, you notice that enemy placement is all precisely made so you could like go through these levels without stopping. Like you could just keep rolling, bouncing, and you could get through these levels in crazy ways. There's actually like 3 different types of jumps you could do off an enemy. You could like not press the button at all. You could press the button briefly and just do like a mid bounce off an enemy, or you could hold it down and get an even higher bounce. And each of those could affect like how you speed run these levels.
And you know, on that note, that's why I'm always frustrated when I hear like Retro's wasting their talent on Donkey Kong. And I'm like, have you fucking played these games, man?
No, these are crazily crazily well-designed levels.
It takes talent to do that. I'm sorry it's not Metroid. I'm sorry it's not what you want, but it takes talent to make something.
I mean, basically you're designing the level in two different ways, too. You're designing it for normal play and you're designing it for speedrun play at the same time, which is just crazy. It's crazy to be able to make one level compatible with both those different types of way to play. Like even there's like an early level too. It's one of the first silhouette levels. I can't remember what it's called. It's a level with a lot of vine stuff. You could like pull up. There's one point in the game, like there's a large gap. You got to like pull out a vine and then the vine sort of like whips its way across a chasm. And then you could cross on the vine that just came out. If you're speedrunning the level though, you could use like Cranky Kong and bounce up. And there's like a string of enemies, a place above the very large pit. And you could just bounce right across those enemies to cross this gap instead of pulling up that vine and crossing the normal way, which is one of the, you know, examples of how the levels are designed for multiple different ways of type of playing. The bosses are pretty damn hard. Like, the first boss is easy. I was like, oh, shit, it's going to be standard platforming bosses. But as soon as you get to the second boss, you're, like, dodging feathers everywhere, like, bouncing up flying enemies to, like, throw bombs at him. They start getting pretty damn involved. Actually, some of the best 2D platformer bosses, I think, there have been. It looks nice. Sounds nice. It has a solid 60 frames per second frame rate. And the bonus levels are really good. I have no complaints with this game. I have no complaints with this game. World 5 is actually one of my like favorite worlds in a video game, too. It's jungle themed, but also fruit themed at the same time. And there's like, it's like basically as you go through the level, like you go from fruit harvesting to like a fruit plant to fruit freezing. So it's like even got a little thematic progress that goes. It changes as you go. But there's like jellies that you can bounce on. It's just, I love it. Love the game. Actually, the one complaint I have with it is I don't know what Diddy's purpose is in the game anymore, because Dixie seems to like travel just as far as Diddy, but she also gets a little height boost as well. And Cranky Kong obviously can bounce on anything, so I don't know what Diddy's use is in the game anymore. As a I guess power up. I guess the extra Kongs are basically power ups in this game. So he seems to I'd like never use him anymore. So other than that, I love the game. And I sort of really want to go to the zoo, so I'm not going to talk about anything else.
I'm going to talk about a million things then to prevent you from going to the zoo.
No.
Save the life of those baby lions.
Yes.
Sorry, I had to work that in there. No, I mean, I played Donkey Kong. I played Bravely Default. I started this week playing Danganronpa, which is a visual novel game on the Vita. But I'm only in the first chapter, and I haven't gotten to the Phoenix Wright-style courtroom stuff yet. So basically it's been, you know, text, so there's not much to say about that yet. So maybe at our next episode in June I can talk about that.
Is there voice acting in the game, or is it all...
There is some. There's some, like, cutscenes where everything is fully acted. Other than that, they'll generally say one little blurb, but they won't read the entire, the entire text.
Yeah, I think I got
some of it is fully acted. Most of it is not.
I think I got spoiled from Virtue's Last Reward.
Yeah, I was surprised that that they're going to put the voice acting in there, but not for most of the dialogue, which I guess is not really that unusual. You know, the Professor Layton games used to do that.
Yeah,
but a little strange choice, I thought, but. The one thing I wanted to talk about that I did play is Kentucky Route Zero, which is a indie game on PC. I think it was on Kickstarter originally. It's episodic. There's supposed to be 5 episodes. There are only 2 out so far. I have no idea when they're going to be coming out with the rest of them, because I think they were all supposed to come out last year at some point. Obviously, that did not happen.
Uh-huh.
But they have come out and said, you know, that episode 3 is coming. So hopefully won't be too much longer. But it's a point-and-click adventure game. It's fucking weird. to say the least, which I think if anybody who's seen anything about this game knows that it's, you know, maybe
I think even if you just look at a screenshot of the game and look at the art style and everything, you'll notice that it's...
I haven't played it yet, though. I want to.
I bought it last year. I think it was like half off for some sale.
That's probably Steam. Yeah, I think that's when I did
too. I finally decided to check it out recently. I really enjoyed it. I played through the first two episodes, and like I said, that's all that's out so far. You play as this truck driver, delivery man for an antique shop who's trying to deliver a package to wherever. I mean, the story isn't really the point of the game. It's just to experience this world and, you know, interact with the characters and stuff. There is that context that you're trying to deliver this, whatever it is, but, I mean, that's not the point of it. Most of it is exploring this world, talking to characters. There's almost no puzzles or anything. It's all about the atmosphere and the tone, which, you know, like you say, the graphics are a big part of that. The music is a big part of that. One thing I really like is the way that they develop this main character. Like a lot of point-and-click adventure games, there are dialogue choices. But unlike something like Walking Dead, where those will influence the plot, this is more just for building the characters and largely inconsequential to the plot, interestingly enough. For instance, I mean, anytime you'll interact with a character, when there's a dialogue choice, you have to pick something, but they may be completely different, contradictory options. So, like, being a delivery man, somebody will ask, you know, what do you think of your job? And you might have a choice that says, "Oh, I'm enjoying it," or maybe it's my last day. You get to build his history, which is really, really interesting. You know, you can build him to be kind of like you, or, you know, what you want to be, or something like that. It's very character driven, which I thought was really interesting. Not something you see a lot of, and it helps to build the tone of the world or the tone of, you know, what is happening with this guy, where he is in his life. Not something you see in a lot of games. I mean, even when they're character driven, it's not maybe in a way such as this. Mm-hmm. I find it really compelling. There's a lot of just weird stuff in this game. I mean, you come to an office building. I don't remember what exactly you're looking for, but what stuck out at me is if you go to floor 3, just filled with bears for some reason. Just complete, like, there's some weird stuff in this game. There's ridiculous things in this game that don't make any sense. I mean, it's something I think everyone should definitely check out. I mean, I'm probably not doing a great job of describing it because I really don't know how to describe this game.
I just picture people like on the fourth floor of that office going, "Oh, the coffee machine's broken again. Got to go down to the bear floor."
I remember playing, and I you get to the elevator, and it says, like, floor 3, bears. And I'm like, well, I have to go to floor 3 then, see what's going on there. And you go to the third floor, and then there, you know, there's just bears all on the floor, and they just – their eyes watch you as you walk by. It's like that's horrible. That's so fucking weird. I mean, there's a lot of weird, interesting things in the game like that. That's just one thing that jumped out at me and as particularly memorable. But I definitely think it's worth checking out. I mean, maybe you want to wait until and see if the rest of the episodes come out. I don't think it's an if. I think it's a when, but I don't know how soon that'll be. So
how long are they to play through?
I think it can vary. It took me about an hour for each episode. I think it can go a little longer because you can explore the Route Zero. You can drive around to different places and find things, but probably an hour around that area for each episode.
All right.
Now, do you have to buy the episodes individually? Because wasn't this game originally like $25? That can't be per episode.
I think it was $25 for the whole thing.
Okay.
I bought the whole game. I think it was on sale for like $10 or something.
Right. That's.
I don't know if you can buy the episodes individually or not. Okay. But I mean, I assume that the whole thing will go on sale at some point if it's not already dropped in price. I don't know.
Yeah, so you just get the episodes when they come out. Yeah, because I saw it like $25 and it was like episodic, and I'm like, well, I really hope that's not episode 1.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely got all the episodes when I bought it. So, yeah, I really, really enjoyed this game. I mean, it's super atmospheric. It's it's not like a lot of other things out there, even as far as, you know, point and click stuff, which I'm a fan of, but this is still something completely different, I think. You know, there are a lot of, I know you're not a fan of point and clicks necessarily, Craig, but I think this is something you might want to at least try, you know, some things out there. Like I started playing Danganronpa, and I can tell right away, Craig, it's probably not something that's up your alley.
I know everyone's talking about it. And I'm like, I'm not playing this game.
Yeah. But I mean, I could tell that's something that seemed interesting to me, and that's definitely not something you should check out, I would say.
Right.
But this seems like something you could enjoy. I'd definitely recommend at least checking it out.
I've already paid money for it, so eventually I'll get around to it. I mean, I was thinking the same thing as you, where, like, it may not be something that's typically up my alley, but I might enjoy it, so.
Maybe you won't, but I mean, I think it's different enough that there's a possibility there.
Right.
For people who aren't necessarily a fan of the genre, so. Other than that, I played Topingo, but that's a number grid puzzle game. I don't think there's much to say about it. I like it.
Is that how you pronounce it? I've been pronouncing it Tappingo.
Tappingo, Topingo, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
I've heard different things, but it's like Picross. It's not Picross, but it kind of scratches the same itch. It's pretty cool. It's only $3. Check it out.
Yeah, I'll probably give that a go. Did either of you download Weapon Shop Del Masse?
I was broke right when that came out, and I forgot to get it. I forgot.
I downloaded it. I haven't played it yet. I downloaded it. Either of you check out the new Steel Diver?
No.
I should. It's free, but no, I have not.
I was terrified. I have, like, fucking bad memories of the first game.
Apparently, I mean, well, here's the thing. People seem to be really enjoying it. Now, me, personally, I just paid for the whole thing up front. I said, whatever, I'll buy it. You actually have access to a decent amount of content without paying for it, surprisingly. But I just played through the tutorial, and it seems like a very just slow and deliberate first-person shooter. Because, it's, you know, it's all underwater, so, I mean, it's not like you're zipping around or anything, you know. You can tap out Morse code, you can... use your sonar, which, of course, you know, gives out your location. You have different kinds of weapons. You can use your periscope to zoom in and out. It's just a very slow and deliberate first-person shooter with online multiplayer. So,
but some chat room I frequent, there's this guy who's, like, obsessed with, like, ships and subs and tanks, and I've just heard way too much about this game already. Like, he fucking talks about it all the goddamn time. And I have to be polite and pretend like I care. hopefully he never listens to this. Yeah. But I thought the first game was terrible. I know this is like basically a completely different genre for the
for the
game, but
I thought the spinny's periscope part in the first one was good.
No.
Yeah, yes.
Let's just, like, sit around spinning. Who cares? That's stupid. It's like a distraction at best. That part is like basically an iPhone game, Craig.
You're stupid. Well, some of us have iPhones. Some of us don't have Flintstones phones.
Oh, I don't.
Yabba dabba, choose you!
is that a phone or a Valentine's Day card?
I like talking to you.
Oh, wait, that's... I got it. Okay. All right.
Bonnie!
Can I go? Oh, gee, Fred. I want to go see some lions. I can't. I want to go look at lions.
Bonnie! Fred!
This is an abusive relationship.
You can't throw Winston, Bonnie!
Oh, gee, Fred, I'm watching the kids. All right. He sold Lucky Strikes.
Is Winston's? Winston's what they smoked.
Was it?
Yeah, Winston's cigarettes at the Flintstones.
All right.
So we're gonna cap this off so Seth can go to the zoo. I want to thank everyone for listening, and until next time, you guys, take it easy.
I'm sure this will be posted in the next month.